about fucking something.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Our radio program starts with a blast of Cali Ho Horn.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Tonight's the night we both agreed you'd start being nicer to him.
I know, but it's just so hard. I swear to God.
When Kevin comes back, we are trying our new approach, okay? I need you to back me up on this.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Kevin.
I didn't do anything.
Kevin, we know you've been working extra hard in school, and it paid off. Son, you got a C in history.
Yes! I knew I could excel. 5G is going to kill a billion people in the next 20 years from cancer. Tell me how the goddamn racism is important.
And now.
Now, believe it or not, I have on the phone with me Ed Asner to tell us more.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 7th of October.
Yeah, it is. What's up, you guys?
Hello.
What's happening?
I feel like the weekend was divided into up to the fifth inning and then after the fifth inning.
Yeah.
In terms of how you feel coming back to work on a Monday. Big difference.
Big difference.
Muggs, how was mom?
Same.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Well, she couldn't have watched.
Yeah, she wasn't.
They were already up by two,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was over.
Yeah.
It's over in the third or whatever that was.
Was she already smack-talking next season?
She smack-talks everything. I can't do it. I can't even sit in the same room with her.
Really?
I'm really getting perturbed.
Are you thinking murder? He's not ruling it out.
Don't say it on the radio, at least.
Pretty quick no.
He's not ruling it out.
Solid, no matter what you're thinking. The answer out loud is no.
That is one of the wonderful things about baseball, though, is you can be down like that with two outs and score seven runs.
Yeah.
I mean, the most I ever saw, I was watching a Mariners game once, and they gave up 11 runs with two outs in a late inning.
Wow.
11 runs.
I was going to say, they're not the ones that scored.
No, they didn't score. No. I don't think they've scored 11 runs in the last two seasons. But that is one of the remarkable things about baseball, is you're tootling along, and you're going, well, I guess we know where this... Wait a minute! And then all of a sudden, it's awesome.
It's also the only sport where you can go, a lot of game left at any point.
Yeah,
yes.
Like in the ninth inning, a lot of game left.
Yep.
Still a lot to go.
Yeah, even though there's no clock,
no.
You can still tell. There's no way to know how long it's going to go.
Correct.
So. Got a lot of show today, a lot of stuff to get to. I think it's going to be pretty good. I want to start with a story out of Florida. Mm-hmm. Jensen, I know you know about this story. You may have a different read on this than I do. Every once in a while, a judge will hand down a ruling that outrages the people in his state. One example that comes to mind is that awful Stanford swimmer rape case. Remember when Chanel Miller got raped by that guy and the judge gave him 6 months? And he served three?
He didn't want to ruin his life.
Yeah, because the guy had so much potential. It was such a good kid,
yeah.
Right. That judge, by the way, was later recalled, which almost never happens. But he lost his job over that because it was a terrible decision,
what
he chose to do. Well, this, a lot of people are comparing to that. Not that the crime compares, but the potential overreaction to the sentence compares. And I'm not sure I agree with those people. Let's find out what happened.
It's a time of celebration for Tanvi Barman, her senior year of high school.
That is not the right piece of tape. You'll hear that again for great news later, though.
Okay.
Here's
a little teaser for great news.
Looking forward to it.
Here's the story.
21-year-old DeAndre Somerville learned the hard way why you can't miss jury duty.
After going through that, it's like my life will never be the same again.
All right, so he was lucky enough to have jury duty, you guys.
Oh, no.
And screwed it up. Had the greatest opportunity in the world to be a U.S. citizen and be on a jury, and he couldn't even bother to wake up on time.
In August, he was sworn in as a juror on a civil case. He was to return the next day for trial, but he overslept.
I woke up, and I looked at the time, and I was like, oh, shoot, it's past the time.
Mistake number two, he didn't call the jury office to let them know what was going on.
I called the jury office just to say hi. Just to check in. Just to say, hey, what's up, you guys?
Yeah. No, B, we don't need you. No.
Is there any way I could just come down and just hang around the courthouse just in case someone falls ill and you just need a jury? You can just pull into the room?
Yeah, or you just go, tell me about the cases today. Just give me a couple rundowns.
So he's on jury duty. By the way, who could sleep if they were on jury duty? Wouldn't you be up and in your suit at like midnight just waiting till you could leave and go to court?
You're such a weirdo.
This is real B.
B really does believe this is the greatest
thing
ever.
And people dread it because it takes them away from work and their family or whatever. It sucks.
It's the greatest experience ever.
Right.
All right, so he oversleeps, he doesn't call in. What happens?
Days later, he was served with a subpoena to go before the judge.
I talked with my granddad for a while, and he said, the best thing you can always do is honesty.
Well, the best thing you can do is wake the F up on time, DeAndre. Okay.
So I went for the hearing.
DeAndre lives with his grandparents and helps look after his grandfather by taking him to therapy.
My grand-
Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Grandma was saying, oh, I think you should dress up, and I was like, nah, I'm gonna wear my work clothes because I feel like at least he can see that I'm doing something. Because a lot of times people get stereotyped. Oh, he's just another black boy out here doing something he's not supposed to be doing.
I'm gonna stereotype you as a guy who can't get out of bed and go to jury duty. I'll tell you that.
He is all of us. I mean, he's only not you because you love jury duty.
As all real Americans do.
The 21-year-old didn't see what was coming.
I just said, sir, I honestly overslept and I didn't understand the seriousness of this.
Kevin, you ready for the sentence?
Yeah.
He asked me if I had a criminal record. I said, sir, I've never been arrested.
Transcripts show DeAndre apologized, but the judge sentenced him to 10 days in jail.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
And not a year, by the way.
What?
Only 10 days.
Not a year.
He sentenced him to jail?
10 days in jail. I'm telling you.
What?
This kid is the luckiest kid in the world, man. If I'm that
what
judge,
what are you talking about?
If I'm that judge, he never sees sunlight again.
This guy.
What is wrong with Bean? People listening right now think you're serious.
You're a loser.
Because
I mean, if you could maybe tone it down, because people are
smidge.
Like, and every single like whack job's like, that's right. What an awful American. Bean's right.
Thank you, Allie. I am indeed right. He was sentenced to 10 days in jail, 150 hours of community service, a written apology of at least 100 words, a year of probation, and $233 in fees, according to reports.
A year of probation for missing jury duty.
That's unbelievable.
Well, I hope that young man learned a lesson.
I hope he does what the majority of people do now. Just rips
dodge
up
it.
That thing.
You have to dodge it.
Yeah,
there's no
gotta
way you
dodge
can...
it.
He's
that's
gotta move.
Some BS.
Well, move to Mexico.
Move to Mexico is the answer.
It's murder button, by the way. But they did appeal, and the judge, because he's a pussy, reduced the probation to 3 months instead of 150 hours of community service. Now it's just 30 hours. But he does have to give a 10-minute talk on the importance of jury duty. So I hope that teaches him a lesson.
I want to hear that 10-minute talk.
And who's it to?
I don't know the answer to that. But DeAndre, you're lucky, man. You escaped this one. But next time, I hope you're not so lucky.
This guy.
You're insane.
The jury duty enforcer.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
If you're not excited right now, you better check your pulse.
Someone got some wrestling drops.
Bean reviews WWE Smack.
Are you ready?
Right?
I don't feel like Bean's the guy.
What are you wearing right now, Bean?
I'm wearing a Hell in a Cell t-shirt.
So Bean has decided to watch WWE SmackDown and give us a review.
Full time. I'll watch nothing else.
On today's show.
Cannot.
We will also take a look at the NFL Week 5. We will talk to the pumpkin pie eating record.
I've been thinking about Schuller. This all weekend. Molly Schuyler.
Schuyler, I'm sorry.
And I have done a lot of research. I've watched a lot of videos. Mm-hmm. I feel as if we're talking to an actual icon.
Loves being known as the queen.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Bean.
We have great news, which Bean already teased a little. He gave you a little taste.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Right.
And later on this morning, we have Chris Jericho coming.
Ladies and gentlemen, okay. He is the most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
All right.
How many did he take? You think hundreds?
I mean, I have.
My testicles are perfectly adequate.
quit.
I got some audio, if that's what you're asking.
The Dodgers are up 2-1, and if they win tonight, they could seal the deal. Because you know that's something Dodgers never have trouble with, sealing the deal. Ha, ha, ha. Whatever, I'll be watching Holy Moly on demand.
Oh my God. I love
She's
so
bringing
much.
The heat. I'll tell you that.
She get totally wasted during the game?
I
spiked her drink.
Okay.
When the Dodgers win the World Series, let's give her a ring. Yes. Give her a World Series ring.
Yes,
right?
Please.
A fake little plastic one, right? She doesn't deserve anything more than that.
Sure, why not?
She roots against the team, basically.
Hey, it's 5:55, and it's a Monday, and Allie is here with the first look at what's happening.
Did anybody see my stories? Beginning of the game, I put a picture up of a specific Dodger.
No.
And said...
Oh, you called it?
Said, not going to lie, this guy's bugging the hell out of me.
Okay.
Who was it?
Bellinger.
Okay.
Said he basically, he better start doing something. Then my next picture was a picture of Puig with the song by Climax, I Miss You.
Uh-huh.
And then,
take us through
all of a sudden, Bellinger decided, hey, you know what? I haven't done jack since 2017 NLDS. NLDS?
Yeah it works.
Pretty much.
Sure.
All of a sudden, he remembered how to hit. So
do
then,
you think that's because of your Instagram?
Yeah, you saw the story?
I then put up my favorite little Ricky, my ventriloquist dummy that mm-hmm. looks so sassy, like a sassy little bitch. Mm-hmm. And I wrote, do you think he's looking at my stories?
The game.
Because he woke up.
During the game.
Yeah, so I'm going to do it for other players tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's solid. I can find nothing wrong with that.
Thank you.
Stay away from Russell Martin. Stay away from Max Muncy. Stay away from the guys who are already producing. You don't want to...
Hello?
Yes.
Come on. No, it's going to be like... What's his name? Seager.
Yes, Corey Seager.
That's who I'm going to put
Wake
up.
Him up.
Please.
Yes.
He needs it.
Don't worry, guys. I got that.
You got it. All right.
What okay. do you think? I'm going to put like guys that are streaking? Like, oh, I'm so mad at him for streaking. Come on, Bean.
I just mean not even encouragement. I mean just don't touch
him.
No. Okay. All right. As long as we're all on the same page.
Allie knows what she's doing here.
Okay.
What I'm doing.
All right. I like to think, in the dugout, they're like, she posted. Put it up.
She's Seriously. A Dodger wrangler.
Seriously.
While you're at it, throw AJ Pollock on there.
Oh, yeah, oh trust idea. Me. I'm not going to lie. I'm probably going to add Kershaw.
Today's game is at 3:40, by the way, on TBS for folks who want to
early start.
Excellent. Anyone see The Joker over the weekend, Kevin?
I did.
Yeah, and?
That's a long movie, that Joker.
Oh, really?
Wow. Here we go.
Oh, no.
That's every movie Kevin sees now. That's his first thought.
I mean,
this
movie
he doesn't like.
This one isn't, it doesn't really try to get to the end.
Oh,
very quickly.
No.
And
I think I'm rubbing off on Kevin.
He has that wacky he has that wacky laugh,
uh-huh.
and it just seems like
it was grating.
Who directed it?
Todd Phillips.
Seems like that's it was grating, and it just over and over. Okay, we get it. He laughs at inappropriate times, and it's probably because he's got mental issues. Get it?
Yeah.
You made that point now 17 times in a row in the first half hour.
Mm-hmm. This point was made by every review before the movie came out too.
I didn't read them.
Okay.
Okay, so it finally got good, I understand, like the last 10 minutes.
I think it was a good movie.
Uh-huh.
It just needed my editing touch.
Okay.
Yes. How long would it have been, the Kevin edit, how long would that be?
I mean, honestly, it didn't need, 2 hours and 1 minute or something like that? It didn't need to be that edited that much. Mm-hmm. 1 hour and 40 minutes would mm-hmm. have been fine.
Oh, okay, so just 20 minutes.
You just take out a couple of the laughs. Boom, you're in.
Like we do on this show.
Yes,
Well, despite mounting controversy and security concerns, Joker scored $93.5 million at the box office over the weekend. The biggest October launch of all time.
How about that?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I was shocked at who held the previous record.
Well, it has to be. I would think it was a horror movie, no? In October?
Not really.
No.
But Spider-Man spinoff Venom.
Oh. Whoa.
80 million.
I think people liked Venom.
Oh, they did.
More than we remember,
More than anyone thought they
would. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
My wife, who doesn't mm-hmm. watch many of those sorts of movies, but is in love with Tom Hardy, has probably seen Venom like 8 times.
Well, really? I think
she loves that movie.
She's only watching a couple minutes at a time, though, right?
Well, however long she needs. She loves that movie. And she keeps telling me, no, I'm serious, it's really good.
It is.
It's not just Tom Hardy. It's really good.
It is good.
It is a good movie.
But I was shocked that made $80 million in its opener. So, not a big deal. By the way, the worldwide opening for Joker, $234 million.
And it's not really allowed, right, Kevin?
No. It's no mostly just inside his mind.
Mm-hmm. By the way, it was the lone nationwide release, but it did make more than all films in the top 10 combined.
Wow.
It's a pretty good weekend for Joker, you guys.
Yeah.
Abominable, abominable, abominable.
Yeah.
You got it.
Second place, Downton Abbey. Third, Hustlers. Downton. Did I say Downtown?
You did. I love
it. My bad.
Which is a different Abbey.
Yeah. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Downton Abbey. Wow, did that hurt you when I said it?
Deeply.
Sorry about that. Fourth, Hustlers, and rounding up the top five, It Chapter 2.
Wow, we were down with a clown in this country this weekend.
Yeah.
We were down with the clown.
I mean, seriously, with two big clown movies in the top five?
I mean, clowns are where it's at.
Right.
I've said it for years.
Sure.
Some birthdays for you. Joy Behar, Tom York, Simon Cowell, John Mellencamp, and what a delight. You lit a little Scottish crooner, you. Louis Capaldi. Anyone follow him on Instagram? It's my favorite follow. Oh.
He is the new chubby sex symbol from Britain, right?
I was going to say, I don't know who he is.
I wouldn't quite call him a sex symbol at all.
Ladies love him.
Bean, you might be misreading this one.
The ladies adore Louis Capaldi.
They adore him because he's super funny and he is very self-deprecating. Mm-hmm. And he claims that he will never, ever have a date. And if he didn't sing the way he did...
Maybe he'd never, ever have a date.
I love him so much.
And he wears a Chewbacca mask.
He does call himself Chewis Capaldi, but that's a whole other story. And that's what's happening.
I've known Jensen for many years now, probably around 10. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've ever seen him as excited as he is right now.
I mean, I feel like...
It's kind of weird today.
You are on the edge of your seat right now,
Jensen. This is our get. We finally... I feel like after all these years, 30 years of you guys together, Hall of Fames, plural.
Uh-huh. Sure.
This is the one that's going to go down in the record books.
This interview.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we've had a lot of the biggest stars that ever lived, as you know, but we've never had Molly Schuyler on before. She is the number one independent female competitive eater in the world. We were alerted to her, Allie, thanks to you, in a story
you
did last
week
about her eating 50 pieces of pumpkin pie in 10 minutes, and we said, who is this woman? She sounds like a dream girl.
She is.
We got to get her on. Her YouTube channel, by the way, has over 16 million views. You can search her name, Molly Schuyler. We'll spell it for you later. Molly, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good, thank
you. We're fantastic. You are just a marvel. We all spent hours yesterday on your YouTube channel, and we just can't believe how many of these challenges you take. And how many world records do you hold right now, if you know?
God. I mean, if you were to go by just restaurant challenges alone, I mean, I hate to say over 100 just because of restaurant challenges.
Over 100?
But even crazier, Molly does this for fun, mostly. There are times when she breaks a record on her YouTube channel, and she's like, I'm not going to have any real... way to say that this is real, but just watch it, whatever. And then she'll beat a record by like three different, like double it. And she's like, "That good video. Talk later."
why is it so fun for you to eat so much food, Molly?
Because it's going outside the box. It's interesting. It's kind of like the oddities that people just don't believe it even happened, and I'm just like, I usually try to put my cat on there because my cat's awesome, whatever.
Yes, you see your cat.
See your cat.
Yeah, your cat was enjoying the Oreo challenge. I did notice that, yes.
Just some quick records that I could spurt off, Bean, just to get the resume out there. 501 wings, that made her a wing bowl record champion. Okay. She accomplished the feat of eating 360 ounces, that's 22.5 pounds of prime rib in 45 minutes. At the end of those 45 minutes, she asked for more.
Oh,
22.5 pounds.
They ran out. She couldn't have any more. She ate 93. She ate 93 dumplings in 2 minutes. That beat her own record of 90 dumplings in 2 minutes.
The record is 119. I beat that record again.
Yes, suck it, Jensen.
Yeah, over the weekend.
Get some updated stuff here.
I mean, she's truly a champion. Where we can't even keep up with her records.
Yeah, exactly.
Molly, no. I have to tell you, I work with people that don't get excited about much often. But before you came on, Jensen's like, "Do you guys see her eating the burrito?" And then Bean goes, "One of her challenges was in my hometown at Bowie, Maryland." I'm like, you guys are such geeks right now.
I love her.
Like,
we're fanboys.
We are fanboys.
I live right next to Bowie.
That's a great story, just like when Bean told it.
I'm so sad.
No, I live in Harwood, like right down the road from you.
Bean, could have been best friends growing up. Molly, do you even enjoy food? Or are you just, even taste it?
No, I do. I mean, like, you know, like, I kind of have, like, I feel like 85 different jobs right now. I do contests for money. I do my YouTube. I do, I'm a mom of four.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I just picked up a bartending job. So now it's like, I mean, I don't even eat. If I do a double shift, I don't eat until 10 o'clock at night. So, I mean, I don't eat all the time at home. So it's kind of like, ugh.
So you just get it all out with 14 burritos in 10 minutes. listen,
exactly.
I want to ask, like, the one, because I'm a huge fan of competitive eating. And the thing that sort of surprises me most about you is you have a technique of not chewing. You just swallow the foods over and over again.
Chewing wastes time.
Chewing wastes time.
She's right. She's not wrong. But, I mean, is that something you knew you could do since you were, like, a kid or something?
And unfortunately, it kind of, yeah. It's not that I've always wanted. It's not that I intentionally would do it. I just ate that way. And because, you know, growing up, I had three brothers, and they're all, like, these mammoth dudes. They're tall. Mm-hmm. I'm a runt. I'm 5'7", and I'm a runt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like, if you didn't eat fast, it's like, you know, you didn't, and it's like, you know, some kind of, it's kind of like, well, all right, you're going to get a second portion if you want to eat anything. So I was like, well, I just kind of, and I had so much to do, so I just ate as quick as I could just to get the heck out of there. And I guess I never
really
chewed my food.
I mean, there's a difference between eating quickly because you have brothers and having 100 records and not chewing. Have you ever choked on anything,
Molly?
Great
question.
Actually, I do have one video on my YouTube, and it was probably about a good 3-4 years ago, and I put it up because I was like, even I choke. Choking is the one danger I would really say that could cost you a life if you're not aware of what you're doing. And I know how to manipulate my throat and my body, so it's like you have to have extreme control over everything. Like, I got it out, but there was probably a good like a tangerine sized chunk of hamburger, like, got stuck in my throat, and I had to get it out. I was choking.
Man.
Oh, wow. No.
Well, that makes sense because...
I did put the video up, so...
Yeah.
It makes sense because she went back because recently she got the Double Chubbies Avalanche Challenge down, which is a burger that has 8 half-pound hamburger patties, each with 2 slices 16. Of cheese. 16.
8 Come on, Jensen. Keep up. Just double whatever information you have there on the paper.
8 Louisiana hot link sausages all in one.
How are you not heavy? Molly?
Yeah. By the way, she is out of, I mean, incredibly skinny.
Yeah, she looks like a runner. She's got the body of a runner.
She looks like a runner, exactly.
Yeah.
I have 4 kids, so I guess I run around. I run to the grocery store.
But you don't. I know there are no reversals in competition, but you're not throwing up afterwards at home, are you?
No, you know, if you were to eat, I mean, if I eat over 20 pounds, you know, there will be times when someone does get sick. I mean, because your body kicks it out. You have no choice. And that's the sucky thing. But, I mean, a 5-pound challenge or something like that, who cares? It's like, you know,
right.
You know, it works itself out. You don't eat like that every doggone day. And, you know, like, now, that there was one video I did. And like I said, it was bad. I drank 2 gallons of canola oil in a minute 6.
Oh,
Molly, do we have to check up on you? We got to stop you from doing
Why?
That.
Why?
I will neither confirm nor deny that after that video, I had to run to the bathroom.
Yeah,
yeah, of course you did. Because you're human.
I'm not positive that's true.
We're talking to Molly Schuyler here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Her YouTube channel is a must-see. Let me spell the last name for you, by the way. It is S-C-H-U-Y-L-E-R. But if you can't remember that, just type in Molly Pumpkin Pie Challenge, and you'll get her YouTube channel. It'll come up.
And subscribe to my challenge, or I'll beat you up or eat your face.
All right. That's fair. That's fair.
She you know what? She is. She's like the Billie Jean King of this sport. She beats. She can't. The men, like, okay, so you know the one that they do on July 4th where in Coney Island?
Yes. Sure.
They split the men and the women because it's like, oh, there's different numbers or whatever. She doesn't compete. It's a long story politically as to why she doesn't compete in the hot dog challenge.
Uh-huh.
But she beats men in every category across the board. I mean, even putting her in a different category is unfair to what she does. Why, like, why do you think that is, like, Molly? Like, why do they split them up at the hot dog challenge, but you just break every record, man or woman?
Honestly, the hot dog contest is the only one, really, I mean, other than maybe amateur events across the country that are once here and there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only major contest that is really segregated between the sexes. It actually, many, many years ago, it used to be men and women together, and they split, I want to say, nine years ago, somewhere around there. Hmm. I don't know, to make it fair for the girls who couldn't eat it much, I don't know.
I mean, Molly kills men. It doesn't even matter if it's a man or a woman.
And she beats
record.
Them in eating challenges. Then she kills them. Yeah, Molly, yeah. is there any
She's
holy...
Black widow of eating challenges.
Any holy grail in your future that you still hope to compete? I mean, do you have a mashed potato dream or anything like that you can't wait to get to?
Mashed potato dream?
Mashed potato dream? What?
That's a great question.
I don't dream of mashed potatoes. There's things all across the country. I mean, that if something big pops up, I like to go after it.
Sure.
That's what I like about Molly. She's just low key.
Well, do it if you want.
Look, whatever you put in front of me, I'm just going to eat it, you guys. That's all there is to it.
Well, I guess what I end up doing at this point, whatever, was if I feel like the challenge is small, I just order two or three or four. I'm just sure. Whatever. So, you know.
I think in these divided times in America, I'm glad that somebody like Molly comes along that we can all agree is the next president of the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. Molly Schuyler, 2020. The YouTube channel is under her name. She is the number one independent female competitive eater in the world, and we're all big fans. Molly, thanks so much for jumping on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right, thanks for having me, y'all.
This day in history with Old Man Reuben.
October 7th, 1982. One of the most important days in American history. One that I have circled on my calendar to celebrate every single year. It's the day the musical Cats first opened on Broadway. After a successful run in London, it came to New York for an unprecedented run that would last 7,485 performances. How many did I see? Over 600. Oh yeah, baby. I was a real rum-tum-tuggerhead. For a while, I was hitting up a weekend matinee, then also seeing the later show on the same night. It was super fun for a while, totally. But then, I went to rehab, and I realized the only reason I liked the musical Cats was because I was constantly on acid. I saw it sober, and I was like, what the f*** is this? So yeah, I guess the moral is, don't do drugs. But if you do, go see Cats. It's pretty dope.
See, because Ruben is old. Right.
Do we have to keep Ruben away from the Cats movie when it opens at Christmas time?
I think he'll be there first in line.
Okay. Hey, great news coming up just after the top of the hour because it is, in fact, a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. Now, Allie's got what's happening.
Guys, it was a rough weekend for movie heads.
Was it?
Oscar-winning director Martin Scorsese ruffled some feathers when he told The Guardian that he's not a fan of Marvel movies. Talking about how he attempted to watch, he said, I tried, you know, but that's not cinema. Honestly, the closest I can think of them, as well-made as they are, with actors doing the best they can under the circumstances, is theme parks. It isn't the cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional, psychological experiences to another human being. People lost their minds.
Well, understandably so. He's basically
no,
wiping out.
No, not understandably so. So what?
Understandably so, because he's making from somebody who claims to know and love film, he's making a very broad, overreaching statement that discounts an entire genre of movies just because they're not the kind of films he likes. And by the way, there are lots of people who got lots of feels at a ton of those Avengers movies. Am I wrong about that?
No. I mean, you're right.
It's just how mad can you be?
You're very angry. I somewhat agree with him to an extent that I think that there are different types of goals for movies. And I think that most of the comic book movies, maybe with just Black Panther being omitted, I think that they are basically amusement parks, which are great. I don't think there's any... I love amusement parks. I just don't think it's the same as when you're comparing it to, like, you know, Manchester by the Sea. They just have two completely different goals, and I don't think that says one is not a movie and the other is, but I think the goal of cinema is a little different.
Fine.
Well, that's not what he said.
I know. I kind of added to it. But yeah. But maybe that's what he meant. I don't
Where
know.
Where is the outrage?
Oh, there was outrage.
Oh, there was
plenty. Joss Whedon, who directed 2012's The Avengers and 2015's Avengers Age of Ultron, tweeted, "It isn't the cinema of human beings trying to convey emotion, psychological experiences to another human being. I first think of James Gunn, how his heart and guts are packed into Guardians of the Galaxy. I revere Marty, and I do see his point, but, well, there's a reason why I'm always angry." All right, Joss. Okay, like, what?
You know what that means.
That dude, I can't. James Gunn tweeted that he was saddened by Scorsese's response to superhero films, writing, "Martin Scorsese is one of my top five favorite living filmmakers. I was outraged when people picketed The Last Temptation of Christ without having seen the film, and I'm saddened that he's now judging my films in the same way." I don't like you making James Gunn sad.
Yeah.
So now I'm mad. Now I'm mad at Martin Scorsese.
You weren't mad until just a second.
I didn't care until then. At first, when he made Joss Whedon mad, I was like, go, Marty. But now that I see you've made James Gunn mad, that makes me upset.
Look, Martin Scorsese is one of the greatest filmmakers of all time. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, if not the best. Yeah.
That doesn't mean that other people can't make different kinds of movies very well.
Yeah, correct.
That's all I'm saying.
I did, though, love all the people that didn't really know Martin Scorsese. Like, what has he done lately? Like, okay, people, but this is your friend.
Also, this is a man who, like, works to salvage film, like, everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
he and Spielberg are the kings of film preservation.
Yeah, they're making sure that, you know, people are able to see reel-to-reel for the rest of, you know, eternity. I mean, it's just, I could see how him and the Louds don't get along.
Yeah. Yeah. Not for him.
No.
So everyone's going to be okay?
We'll be okay.
Okay.
I think so. I hope so.
Bean, what about you? Were very upset at Marty.
Yeah, because I think it was a boneheaded thing for him to say. Yeah. It doesn't mean I can't wait for The Irishman, though.
Correct. Where is the outrage there?
Also, his eyebrows. Am I right?
Those are CGI.
Like, maybe you're not really enjoying the Marvel films because you can't see them in there entirely. Just shape those bad boys just a little bit.
He
has become the grandpa in Us.
I mean, they're insane. They are just bonkers. But, sir, I like your movies. And I cannot wait for The Irishman. Some birthdays for you. Louis Capaldi, John Mellencamp, Simon Cowell, Tom York, and Joy Behar. And that's...
Right? SmackDown talk, right? SmackDown talk.
Not yet.
Gotta
talk some WWE.
Yeah. Come on, talk some WWE. Yeah, about a half hour from now.
Talk some Roman Reigns.
About a half hour from now.
Come on now.
It's the first time Bean watched, and he's going to review it for us.
Don't make me wait.
Half hour.
What are you doing? Oh, that's right. It's time for great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
Plenty of bad news out there. We try to bring at least one bright spot every week on the Monday Great News feature. Kevin, what were you doing when you were 17 years old?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Well, me too. Let's find out somebody who's doing a different thing.
It's a time of celebration for Tanvi Barman, her senior year of high school. But the party she gives up weekends for aren't for anyone she knows. However, that changes quickly.
Open. Within an hour, they're holding my hand, they're tugging on my sleeve, and they really trust me.
The children are homeless in shelters. Some have never had a birthday celebration until now.
So she's 17 years old, and every weekend she goes to homeless shelters and throws birthday parties for kids.
Is it their birthday?
Wow.
It is their birthday.
Oh, Kevin.
I'm just asking.
That is what she's doing, yes, because it would be very confusing for the poor kids if it wasn't. Pretty remarkable.
Yeah. The idea was born when Tanvi tagged along as her parents volunteered at shelters, seeing kids who never had a party, like the one she celebrated every year.
It's very hard for these children to get a source of happiness in their lives, and I can provide them a day where they can feel special and loved.
Listen to her at 17 years old, by the way.
Unbelievable.
Listen to her. And by the way, worth mentioning, she got this good habit because her parents volunteered at homeless shelters, so they passed down the good gene to her, which is wonderful.
The project, No Birthday Left Behind, has help now, a puppeteer and face painter volunteer. Pizza and custom cakes are donated.
Happy birthday to you.
By the way, murder button for people who sing that song, though, right?
Everyone sings Happy Birthday. What's wrong with you?
It's because it's a terrible song and it's annoying.
It's never good. But
when it starts, you cannot wait for it to be over. Like, just say Happy Birthday and move on. Screw the effing song, right?
Wow, get off my lawn.
It's a big effort for someone 17, Tanvi's age, unless you're counting by the number of celebrations she's given others.
Today would be my 45th birthday.
The simple joy of a party, because every child is worth it.
Way to go, Tanvi. That is my... Oh, that was...
It's a little early.
Early.
I hit it a little early.
Do the thing. All right, let's try it again.
All right.
Way to go, Tanvi. That is my great news!
My great news comes out of Tennessee. Third grader Daniel Hunt's home burned down, and he lost everything.
Oh, that's terrible great news.
That's not the end of the story.
Okay, good.
In the week following the devastating September 21st house fire, according to the school counselor, the 8-year-old's classmates, quote, couldn't love him enough. His friends held doors for him, got his pencils ready for him each morning, took the chair down from his desk.
Because they felt so guilty about burning his house down?
They didn't burn his house down. They're just trying to take care of him.
I see.
At the same time, teachers and classmates planned a secret toy drive. So they took it on themselves to say, he lost everything, let's replace everything. And they did a secret toy drive. The teacher said it's amazing to witness the excitement of these third grade kids had while sneaking in toys. On Friday, the third graders excitedly waited for Hunt to enter the classroom before yelling surprise, and he was speechless. And he just said group hug, and everybody came in, and it was very sweet. Gifts spilled across four desks and included a plush Pikachu, board games, toy cars, and a football. On the way home, Hunt was overwhelmed with happiness, telling his grandmother, I have joy in my stomach. So teach Daniel anatomy. And that's my great news.
Well, like in the pit of your stomach, you can sometimes feel like awful sadness. That was replaced by joy.
Right.
That's what he said. Let's not
Thank
come down
for clarifying.
On his anatomy situation.
Little pyro that he is.
He didn't burn down his own house.
You don't know, man.
I don't, actually. This story comes out of Roseville, California. There was a 97-year-old woman named Glenetta Belford. She's nonverbal. She has dementia. She went missing from her house. Obviously, the whole town rallies. They want to find this woman, get her back together. Little kids that were outside when they heard cops and helicopters asking for help from the community, 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds, these four kids, Hope, Cash, Logan, and McKenna, were like, let's get on our bikes. Total Goonies situation. They get on their bikes. They had to turn around and go back home because Logan took a spill early on going down a path. Had to go home, got, you know, cleaned up, fixed up. He said, the second bump flew me in the air and I fell off my bike. But we came all the way back. My brother patched me up. Then we were back out on the road. They found the woman.
Wow.
These four little goonies found the lady. She was right in front of them. And she said, no, no, go away, go away. But they were like, no, no, no. There might be a reward. I'm not saying they thought that. But they probably thought that.
They probably did.
They called 911 and they were like, I'm sorry, you four kids? Found them. There are cops combing the whole area. So they were rewarded with a bunch of interviews by the news.
Which always great.
Nobody wants that as a reward. But they were asked by reporters, what about starting your own detective service? And how much would you charge? And the little girl, McKenna, said to them, and I quote,
I have joy in my stomach.
No, she said, when asked by this reporter, so how much are you going to charge for your detective services? She's like, there's no price on helping. Boom! Oh. Suck it, reporter.
So she's actually better than Veronica Mars, because Veronica Mars charges that bitch.
100%. I think the takeaway here is Veronica Mars is a bitch, and congrats to these Goonie kids up in Roseville, California. And that's my...
Thomas Hebert from Montebello, thank you so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You won yourself a pair of tickets to Queen Mary's Dark Harbor, which is going on now. Celebrate a decade of freakish fun, it says here, with six terrifying mazes, hundreds of monsters, nightly live entertainment, exciting rides, and more. We got them for you every hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, this movie candy podcast discussion. Mm-hmm. these guys got to be put down, right?
I mean, they're kind of kidding.
Are they?
Yeah.
I hope so. I hope they're kidding.
Yeah.
Because, well, Jensen, you have very strong thoughts on movie candy. So why don't you talk about what their results were and how you disagree?
Well, it's the Lights, Camera, Barstool podcast. They are a movie podcast for the common man, quote unquote. But they do find themselves trolling a bit. And this one, by far, might be their most popular now. It was a viral map to show America's favorite movie candy. And it listed it by state. And some kind of made sense. Like, you know, they would list...
So meaning there's one thing for all of California?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Like, for example, you would see certain ones pop up like Reese's Pieces or Bunch of Crunch or M&M's. Like, all those make sense. But then when you look at, like, Texas, for example, and they are listed as their favorite movie candy as black licorice.
That's just not possible.
Or it's not possible.
Or in California, it was listed as dots.
I took
a box of dots to see Joker.
You did?
Yes, from home. I have about 8 boxes. They gave them to me for my birthday. And so then
I've heard a lot of weird things about you. This might be the most psychotic. You brought your own dots and you have boxes and boxes at home?
Yes. I probably have 7 left, 6 or 7 left.
You love dots?
I love dots.
Wow.
I knew that dots is an option at movie theaters. I knew that it did have...
it's in the rotation.
It's in the rotation, but it can't be number one in the state of California. Now, obviously, we're discounting popcorn. Popcorn's out of the conversation.
Yes, talking about candy, not a candy.
But can dots possibly really be the number one California movie candy?
I don't think so. No, I mean, Kevin's the only time I've ever heard of someone having more than one box in a lifetime, let alone 8 in their house. It's listed favorite movie candy by state. It says based on social media, Walmart and Target, and then in small parentheses, unofficial.
So they're making it all up.
Yeah, they should have gone, obviously, to movie theaters. Okay, what do you think the number one movie candy is sold in theaters?
Okay.
What do you think it is?
I would assume...
Because I'm not a candy guy at the theater, so I have a very small sample, but...
I assume M&M's.
Yes, I think M&M's, 100%. Peanut M&M's or regular M&M's, I think would probably be number one.
My wife is team Junior Mints.
Well, so am I, and I'm Junior Mints till I die.
More than one Junior Mint you can eat?
Yes, I get a whole box.
Oh,
agreed.
Junior Mints are delicious. You're eating ice cream, or you're eating toothpaste.
No, well, number one, I enjoy toothpaste, so that makes sense. But I
could eat maybe 2 Junior Mints tops, and then I'm just disgusted with myself.
Why are you racist?
What?
They're so good.
Like, come again?
Junior Mints are the number one movie theater snack, in my opinion. I think that they bring a certain feeling to the theater. It's like the way I drink a Bloody Mary mix on a plane, but nowhere else. I've never had Bloody Mary mix anywhere else.
Okay. And I'm crazy. That's what you're saying.
But there are a lot of people who do that. That is a very common thing. And I think Junior Mints bring the aura of the movie theater to you.
And I'm gonna add to what Mr. Karp is saying over there to say, and I don't know if you guys have even thought about this, is that Junior Mints, there's something about the taste of a Junior Mint that is complementary to the taste of popcorn.
Yes.
Those two tastes together work.
Yes, Queen. Mm. Listen, also, people put the Junior Mints into the popcorn and mix them up. I've never done it because I'm not that adventurous.
You do that with M&M's.
Sure.
You can do those
not as good.
Even
sure.
with any candy, even with a gummy bear.
Right, those aren't as good.
Not forget Milk Duds.
Well, Milk Duds
Let's not
good.
Forget Raisinettes.
Right. Well, these are all Raisinettes. Good options, not as good as Junior Mints. My number two is Sour Patch Kids.
Love Sour Patch Kids.
And my number three are Butterfinger Bites, which are just small things of Butterfinger. Very good. Mm-hmm.
I am going to tell you that I am a fan of North Dakota's number one, according to this viral candy map. And are you guys with me? Because I buy these not only at the movie theater, I'll just buy them if I stop at 7-Eleven one day, and that is baked beans. Love them.
I'm sorry.
The Boston baked beans?
He doesn't mean like baked beans, but they're candy.
I haven't had those in a long time.
They're not good.
They're so good.
Again, it's like a warm... icky taste.
It's like a 15-cent candy you get in like a bad little box.
Bean, you are the worst.
I love them. I love baked beans.
Those aren't good.
Okay.
But I think people buy Reese's Pieces too, right? Isn't that
I
a big one?
I would think that would be way up there,
That's
too.
That's a big one, yeah.
What did you call
Reese's
them?
Pieces? Reese's Pieces?
You are so...
Pieces.
Pieces.
Reese's Pieces. I think I'm having some sort of seizure. Reese's Pieces.
Yep. There
Reese's
you go.
Reese's Pieces
but
also.
It is good and plenty, though. Right?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Allie McKay.
Bean.
What's happening?
I'm not saying I laughed really hard when I saw this tweet by the Associated Press yesterday. But I laughed really hard when I saw this tweet by the Associated Press.
Well, like you are saying that.
That's where you go for comedy, man. Associated Press.
The University of Kansas has apologized for a basketball game performance by Snoop Dogg in which stripper poles were wheeled onto the Allen Fieldhouse floor and fake money was shot over the heads of prospective recruits. To which I quote tweeted and wrote, unrelated, 100% commitment from recruits at the University of Kansas. Because, come on.
Also, don't you know what you're getting by now
with the Snoop
if
Dogg
you
show.
Get Snoop.
Yeah.
For God's sake, yes.
Didn't they say, Allie, that they had agreed to a clean show?
Well, athletic director Jeff Long said in a statement, "We apologize for the Snoop Dogg performance at late night. We made it clear to the entertainer's managers that we expected a clean version of the show and took additional steps to communicate to our fans, including moving the artist to the final act of the evening to ensure that no basketball activities would be missed if anyone didn't want to stay for the show." Here's my question. A clean version of the show. So just having a stripper pole and having somebody performing moves on it, that made it dirty?
I mean, I guess that's what they're suggesting.
Yeah, but like you could watch Empire or any show on television at 8, 9 p.m. and that's on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
True.
So
true.
They're not nude or anything. No. They're just doing the dancing.
No.
And by the way, from my understanding of this story, no pot involved either.
Oh, he didn't even smoke weed?
He wasn't even smoking weed.
Then is it even really Snoop?
Right.
Was it even Snoop?
Could have been a hologram.
Yep.
Could have been. Yeah. I mean,
that's an awesome story.
It's just, come on. There was profanity.
I mean,
what if Snoop had to do all the clean versions at a concert?
You know it would what I mean? Suck.
It would suck.
He's like sipping on gin and juice, my ninjas, and like throws his hands in the air. Like it's just not what you want out of Snoop.
No
and
doubt.
Who was complaining? Because no kid in that crowd.
That athlete student was
complaining. It's just silly.
Well, next year you're getting DC Talk.
That was just for me.
Popular Christian
rap
rock band.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for explaining to the rest of us.
How bad were they?
DC Talk?
Yeah.
They actually were better than they should have been.
Really?
Yeah, they weren't good.
They just rapped about God or?
The same way like MXPX like sang about God, like you kind of knew. But like they had a song called.
But it's veiled a little bit?
A little bit. But I think they had a song that was like sarcastically called like Jesus is Fun or something.
I don't think that's sarcastic.
No, I think Jesus Freak was one of the name of their songs.
That's right. That was a big song.
That
for
was
them.
A big song. Yeah, that was the one I was thinking of. Love is a Verb was also one of their song titles.
Maybe they can get Kanye next year. Jesus is King.
He's probably a big inspiration now.
Right?
Yeah.
Yikes.
I'm with Allie, though. Who's complaining?
Yeah.
And must like supporters, parents, or somebody that
some booster
weren't
was
there?
Like, yes. He said a bad word. I saw it. My child posted about it, and I had to sit and watch that story over and over when they showed women on a pole. I watched it 70 times just to make sure I was seeing what I was seeing. Guys, popular baby names change, and the Social Security Administration is predicting what baby names will be most popular in 2020. Top baby names for girls currently.
Is
Emma.
It Heimer?
Nope. No. Emma, Olivia, Ava. And
those
Emma.
Are standards, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Emma has held the top spot for the last 5 years. But they're tracking names that are on the rise in popularity and say the top five on the rise right now, Megan, which is spelled M-E-A-G-H-A-N.
Oh, too many.
Don't do
wow.
that. Don't
too
do
many.
That.
That's a lot of
hated.
Letters.
I know a Megan spelled like that, by the way. I refuse to talk to her.
Number two, Dior.
No.
Dior.
Number three, Adelie.
These are just names of Jersey Shore offspring, right?
Number
Sam Anderson.
Four, Palmer. And number five, Oakland.
What? Spell it.
O-A-K-L-Y-N-N.
No.
Hell no.
I hate
hell no.
All of these names on the rise. But then there's a website named Nameberry that says that all of the boy and girl names that seem to be getting popular have been inspired by gemstones, saying that names like amethyst, emerald, ruby, onyx, and pearl are on the rise. And then other names gaining popularity are inspired by food. Kevin, kale is a name that people are naming their child.
Kale, carp.
Kale.
I should have went with kale.
Kale, kiwi, and maple are on the rise.
No. Maple sounds like a grandma.
Yeah.
Like a 99-year-old grandma.
I'm Maple.
Nature names on the rise as well, like Dawn, Aurora, and Rainbow. And then still popular names that are kind of guy names given to a girl, like Stevie, Max, or Drew, or Ryan.
Joanna Man?
Kale, you guys.
What is kale? Is that fish?
It is not, Kevin.
That was a serious question.
That was a very serious question.
They have, I don't know if you saw it, they have kale candy canes out now.
Oh,
kale
that's ridiculous.
Candy. Yes.
Yeah,
so you don't get any of the nutritional benefits of actually eating kale. You just get the terrible taste of kale.
No.
That's so a win-win.
Oh,
you know, by the way, that list, it doesn't mean those names are popular or there are lots of people. It just means they have an upward trajectory, right?
Yeah, they're just on the
they're
rise right
more
now.
Popular than before. Because yeah. That Oakland, I'm telling you, that's the worst name I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Oakland.
It's hard naming your baby, man, but you definitely avoid the Oakland. Yeah, you avoid the Oakland.
I'd have an Oakland before a Dior.
Yeah, those are your only two choices?
Yep, those two. That's why I'm not having a baby.
That's a bad situation.
I refuse.
But if you could have a baby and name your baby Kale, wouldn't you do that?
No. I'd name my baby Kiwi Maple. So cute. Some birthdays for you. Tom York, Simon Cowell, John Mellencamp, Joy Behar, and Louis Capaldi.
I mean, you guys know me. I'm a little bit of a wrestling head. That's what I've been known as.
Sure.
Friday Night SmackDown. I mean, I don't know how I couldn't tune in when I heard so much about and saw that all of the legends were going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But not our man CM Punk, by the way, Jensen.
CM Punk is not signed to WWE.
We were hoping. Yeah. Why is this such a big deal? The Friday Night SmackDown has been going on for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Is the only change that now it's on Fox?
Well, they also had a new stage set up that sort of where the wrestlers walk out, and mm-hmm. This was considered quote unquote a new season. But the most eyes that have ever been possible to see wrestling mm-hmm. was this episode because it was the first week on Fox.
Yeah, they had pyrotechnics, and yep. I mean they really played it up big, and. Yeah. 18,000 people in attendance, and you know, the McMahons come out, Vince and Stephanie McMahon come out, and they do their greetings, and mm-hmm. then the wrestlers start appearing, and I was a little bit confused right out of the gate as a guy who knows nothing about wrestling when I heard this.
And here comes the man!
And I thought, I am so gay right now, because that is the hottest man I have ever seen in my life. Like, where did he come from? Okay, how does he look like that?
This is Becky Lynch. She is a female wrestler who calls herself The Man. Because,
I'm very confused,
right,
then.
She's breaking glass ceilings in the business, and mm-hmm. she's doing the main eventing, which is something normally slotted for male wrestlers.
Yeah. Okay, but so she's The Man.
Yes, mm-hmm. she is called The Man.
Okay.
You would be a little confused.
I was very confused.
But she is a woman, yes.
And then there was a King Corbin who's dressed up like the Burger King mascot. He comes out. Now, was their intention, were they supposed to fight each other, or were they arguing over who got to come out first?
They were arguing over who got to come out first, yeah.
Okay, and it did get a little testy between those two.
Yes. You really think you're still The Man?
Take one more step and we'll find out.
All right, so it looked like they were getting ready to throw down, but then out of nowhere comes a voice we're all familiar with.
That was one of the loudest responses I've ever seen in wrestling, by the way.
Everybody, I mean, at least half the people in the audience were wearing the Rock is Back t-shirts. This is a big deal, having him come back to Southern California for SmackDown?
Yeah, he comes back a lot, to be honest, for a guy who is the biggest movie star in the world. But mm-hmm. every time he does, he always delivers, and people get very excited.
He was on that stage for like 10 minutes, just catchphrases and posturing and standing and waiting for applause.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was very slow moving, but man, he had that crowd in the palm of his hand, didn't he?
He did.
And then he told a story, and I need you, Jensen, to tell me if this is a true story or not.
Mm-hmm. Many, many, many moons ago, The Rock uttered a phrase to some jabroni that changed the WWE landscape forever, that changed the world. The Rock looked at that jabroni and said he was gonna lay the smack down.
And he claims that that's where the SmackDown was born?
It is. That's where it started. He used
that's
to say,
why gonna, this thing exists.
Yeah, I'm going to lay the SmackDown, or layeth the SmackDown. He used to say this. It was one of his catchphrases, and then it caught on to where they made it the name of the show.
Then they had what looked like, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 8, 15, I don't know how many there were, women come out in some sort of a tag team. And by the way, this Charlotte Flair with her figure eight is one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
She's very cool.
At a sports entertainment event.
Mm-hmm.
Not a sporting event, mind you, a sports entertainment event. But I don't want to say they don't take the wrestling seriously, but they, during the match, they went away to a commercial and came back. I mean, like, while it was happening live, they cut away from it and came back and it was still going on.
That is a thing they do. and in the arena, they continue to wrestle, and then you can see the ref sort of goes, "We're back." Like, sort of.
Tell, but it's not on TV. Sort of. Can you imagine if they did that with any other sport?
No, that'd drive you crazy.
It was just crazy.
It's third down and six. We'll be right back. They got the first down.
So then Seth Rollins comes out for the basically just to look at a TV screen that features the Fiend, who is somebody that he was going to be meeting again last night at the Hell in a Cage, right?
Hell in a Cell, yes.
This Hell in a Cell, right? This is one of the strangest things I've ever seen. There were a couple of different things that happened during Friday Night SmackDown that I was not prepared for.
Yes.
And this is one of them. So they cut to the Fiend at home.
Who has like a Mr. Rogers vibe to him.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
And he is about to introduce the puppets that he lives with.
Yes.
Hi, Seth! Welcome to the Firefly Funhouse! And since we're all being introduced to SmackDown's new home, I think it's only fair to introduce everyone to my home.
Okay, so then he recreates the Hell in a Cell, Kevin, with the puppets in his house to show what's going to happen when he fights Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jensen, you've been watching this forever.
Yes.
Does he come up with that and he has to pitch it?
Look, that's what I was told.
Let's go
yeah.
to my house and we're going to do puppets.
I have read about
it. Or does somebody write it for him?
I have read about it, and supposedly this is very much in his control. And he used to play a different character on the show that was very much like a kind of a bit of a
sort of the opposite of a wrestler?
No, he was like a... You know how on the Pirates of the Caribbean there were some characters that weren't pirates? They were guys who just held lanterns and walked around? He was kind of that guy. That was his character. And he was like the, you know, very mysterious and strange. And it did not work in the long run. So they let him go away. He buffed up a bit. He lost a lot of weight and came back. And now he has this character, which is very Mr. Rogers. And he's there to sort of deal with the PTSD from when his first character didn't work. And so what happens is he's trying to be as happy as possible, but the Fiend, which is a character with a mask and gloves, scary, almost Slipknot looking, that comes out every once in a while.
Because, so he has a split personality,
yes, you can't hide your trauma.
Mm. Oh, I see. Okay. Yes. All right, now Shane McMahon comes out next. Now, he looks like my accountant. I mean, he is just an old guy with a regular body in a suit, essentially.
Yeah.
He's Vince's son, right?
Yes. I would assume a millionaire in his own right, yeah.
Okay, so he comes out, and you're not going to believe what happens next. When we get into the ladder match, this is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. This is what I imagined wrestling to be in the 1980s and had no idea it still was in the 21st century.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the best in the world!
Uh-oh. Kevin Owens wasted a little time going after Shane, and here we go! Owens, Shane McMahon, ladder match, loser terminated from WWE.
Okay, so Shane McMahon is not anywhere near the ring yet, and Kevin Owens just races out of the ring, like goes up the hallway and just tackles him, and they start fighting outside the ring on their way to the ladder match. And this is true: if you lose the ladder match, you're kicked out of the league.
You're fired.
You're fired.
Yes.
And the ladder, Kevin, you not only have to put it up in the ring and then climb it and pull a briefcase down that's hanging from the ceiling.
This is not possible.
Yeah. It is. But you can also use the ladder as a weapon. You can pick up the ladder and you can just hit people with it.
Or have the guy hold the ladder and then kick the ladder and it hits him in the head. It's got a Three Stooges vibe to it.
And at one point, by the way, Shane McMahon, who again does not look at all like a professional athlete, at one point he stands on the corner of the ring and leaps what looks like 12 feet through the air to land on Kevin Owens, who's laying on a table nearby.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, that's a very difficult level of difficultness.
I'm sorry?
That's not an easy move to make, I guess.
Shane has done some ridiculous things over the years for a guy who doesn't need to work.
But yes.
He weirdly puts himself in harm's way, for sure.
Wasn't he the one last Hell in a Cell?
Yeah, got thrown off.
Yes.
Yeah, he does some nuts stuff.
Well, I certainly expected that, you know, being Shane McMahon, he was going to win, but here was one of the big upsets of the night.
Here is your winner, Kevin Owens!
I can't believe it. You can't believe it. No one can believe it, Cole. Shane McMahon's fired.
And then the announcers are talking. Then the announcers start saying,
who do I go to for my paycheck? What if I need a day off? Like, who's the boss now? Yeah, like, it was a serious repercussion.
Things were thrown into disarray. The boss has been fired.
All right, now we get into the main event that we've been hearing about.
How are we not at the main event yet?
Because it's a two-hour show, okay. Kevin. We're into the main event. This is going to be our friend Brock Lesnar, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think you know has a storied career in multiple disciplines.
Yeah.
And he is going against someone named Kofi Kingston, who looks like he weighs about 150 pounds.
Yes.
And he's got a couple of guys with him. It's like looking at Belle Biv DeVoe. These three guys are all dressed up in matching outfits.
New Day.
Like there's no New Day, right? There's
you
no
just
way.
Said New Day was like Belle Biv.
They are. So I guess Brock Lesnar has a spokesperson named Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman, who's a behind-the-scenes creative. He's very smart.
And
but
he's
he does
like
this,
the Captain Albano of current day, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So here comes Paul, and he basically steals the mic from the announcer as it's time for the main event.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, introducing the Kofi Conquering Knife Mayor of Suplex City, Brock
So they're amping it up a little bit. And now I present for you, in its entirety, the match of the night. Yeah.
Tonight's main event is sponsored by Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Available now. And Brock Lesnar quickly with Kofi Kingston. And an F5! And an F5 by Lesnar! There's the cover! We got
that was it.
What?
That was it.
Wait, what?
Brock Lesnar.
That was it.
Is now a 5-time WWE champion.
8 seconds.
That's what
8 seconds.
That was the main event?
Lesnar, that was it.
Lesnar has been known to make these matches very quick, and this one was surprisingly quick. Yeah.
8 seconds, and I'm looking at the clock, and there's still like 4 minutes to go, and I'm thinking, well, they've crammed everything into this show. Yeah. What are they going to do now? And he has just won the title. He's got the belt over his head, and he looks down, and Jensen, who's coming out? To the surprise of not only the champ, but to everybody in the arena.
Well, it's Rey Mysterio, who's a normal WWE wrestler, but he's accompanied by a very tall dude that no one has seen before. And it ends up being Kane Velasquez.
Kane Velasquez, who's the UFC fighter who beat Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, who's now a WWE superstar.
And so Brock has just won a match, and now Kane Velasquez shows up, and he climbs into the ring, and now Brock has to fight another match. Can you imagine if the Lakers won the championship, and then out of nowhere, the Portland Trailblazers came out and said, all right, now you got to play us. So Velasquez is there.
This was moments ago. Kane Velasquez with a double leg takedown of Lesnar, and then the mauling began, and Brock Lesnar covering up and then retreating from Velasquez.
Who's?
I can assure you, Brock Lesnar was not expecting to encounter his old rival, the man who defeated him for the UFC Heavyweight Championship, Kane Velasquez, in a WWE ring. But make no mistake, Velasquez has arrived, and the beast has got to deal with it.
So the story continues, and don't think I won't be there next Friday night.
I think you're going to Saudi Arabia for their big crown.
Gotta be honest, that song is in the category of I never tire of it.
Best.
Really?
Best.
Never tire.
Now, you don't feel that way about any Christmas music, but there are some Halloween songs that you are fine with year round.
Yes, correct.
How about that?
That is correct.
Well, 'tis the season. And by the way, starting to get a lot of complaints about no Halloween spooks. No Halloween spooks yet, which we may have to remedy very soon. And some two eyeballs while we're at it.
Yeah.
First, though, let's check in with Mama Mug, shall we?
Hi, it's Mama Muggs reminding you that tonight is Game 4 of the National League Division Series. The Dodgers are up 2-1, and if they win tonight, they could seal the deal. Because you know that's something Dodgers never have trouble with, sealing the deal. Ha, ha, ha. Whatever, okay. I'll be watching Holy Moly on demand.
She is a delight. Yeah. Let me just say that.
Wouldn't last night of all nights be the night to be excited and fired up and pumped about a team that scores, was it 6 or 7 runs in the sixth inning?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the time
this
to be like, my boys came through. I love them.
You're assuming she's still watching by the sixth
inning.
She
that's
wouldn't
a good
be because
she
they were down be. 2-0, 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The game is at 3:40 this afternoon, by the way, on TBS, if you want to check that out. So well done last night. And I can't wait to hear. I I can't wait to hear what Mama Muggs has to say after the next one.
She is just a burst of energy, I'll tell you that. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:09.
Jensen, I know you know about this story. You may have a different read on this than I do. Every once in a while, a judge will hand down a ruling that outrages the people in his state. One example that comes to mind is that awful Stanford swimmer rape case. Remember when Chanel Miller got raped by that guy and the judge gave him 6 months and he served three?
He didn't want to ruin his life.
Yeah, because the guy had so much potential. It was such a good kid, right? That judge, by the way, was later recalled, which almost never happens. But he lost his job over that because it was a terrible decision.
Yeah,
what he chose to do. Well, this, a lot of people are comparing to that. Not that the crime compares, but the potential overreaction to the sentence compares. And I'm not sure I agree with those people. Let's find out what happened.
21-year-old DeAndre Somerville learned the hard way why you can't miss jury duty.
After going through that, it's like my life will never be the same again.
All right, so he was lucky enough to have jury duty, you guys.
Oh, no.
And screwed it up. Had the greatest opportunity in the world to be a U.S. citizen and be on a jury. And he couldn't even bother to wake up on time.
In August, he was sworn in as a juror on a civil case. He was to return the next day for trial, but he overslept.
I woke up and I looked at the time. And I was like, oh, shoot, it's past the time.
Mistake number two, he didn't call the jury office to let them know what was going on.
I called the jury office just to say hi, just to check in, just to say
see
what's
if they
up,
need
you guys.
Yeah. No, B, we don't need you. No.
Is there any way I could just come down and just hang around the courthouse don't just in you. Case someone falls ill and you just need a jury? You
We're
just
good.
Pull into the room?
Yeah, or you just go, tell me about the cases today. Just give me a couple rundowns.
So he's on jury duty. By the way, who could sleep if they were on jury duty? Wouldn't you be up and in your suit at like midnight just waiting until you could leave and go to court?
You're such a weirdo.
This is real. Bean really does believe this is the greatest thing ever.
And people dread it because it takes them away from work and their family or whatever. It sucks.
It's the greatest experience ever.
Right.
All right, so he oversleeps, he doesn't call in. What happens?
Days later, he was served with a subpoena to go before the judge.
I talked with my granddad for a while, and he said, the best thing you can always do is honesty.
Well, the best thing you can do is wake the F up on time, DeAndre. Okay.
So I went for the hearing.
DeAndre lives with his grandparents and helps look after his grandfather by taking him to therapy.
My grand- grandma was saying, oh, I think you should dress up, and I was like, nah, I'm gonna wear my work clothes because I feel like at least he can see that I'm doing something. Because a lot of times people get stereotyped. Oh, he's just another black boy out here doing something he's not supposed to be doing.
I'm gonna stereotype you as a guy who can't get out of bed and go to jury duty. I'll tell you that.
He is all of us. I mean, he's only not you because you love jury duty.
As all real Americans do.
The 21-year-old didn't see what was coming.
I just said, sir, I honestly overslept and I didn't understand the seriousness of this.
Kevin, you ready for the sentence?
Yeah.
He asked me if I had a criminal record. I said, sir, I've never been arrested.
Transcripts show DeAndre apologized, but the judge sentenced him to 10 days in jail.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
And not a year, by the way. Only 10 days.
Not a year.
He sentenced him to jail?
10 days in jail. I'm telling you.
What?
This kid is the luckiest kid in the world, man. If I'm that
what
judge,
what are you talking about?
If I'm that judge, he never sees sunlight again.
This guy.
What is wrong with being people listening right now? Think you're serious?
You're a loser.
Because
I mean, if you could maybe tone it down, because people are
smidge.
Like, and every single like whack job's like, that's right. What an awful American Bean's right.
Thank you, Allie. I am indeed right. He was sentenced to 10 days in jail, 150 hours of community service, a written apology of at least 100 words, a year of probation, and $233 in fees, according to reports.
A year of probation for missing jury duty.
That's ridiculous. Unbelievable.
Well, I hope that young man learned a lesson.
I hope he does what the majority of people do now. Just rips
dodge
up
it.
That thing.
You have to dodge it.
Yeah,
there's no
gotta
way you
dodge
can...
it.
He's
got to
move.
BS.
Well, move to Mexico.
Move to Mexico is the answer.
It's murder button, by the way. But they did appeal, and the judge, because he's a pussy, reduced the probation to 3 months instead of 150 hours of community service. Now it's just 30 hours. But he does have to give a 10-minute talk on the importance of jury duty. You know how we say you can go to radio.com and stream the Kevin and Bean Show or get the podcast there, and we appreciate when you do. Well, there's another show you ought to be checking out. It comes on right after ours at 10. It's called Swings and Misses. And once again, Jen and Cody from the program in studio with us here on the Kevin and to meet you. Hey, guys, how are you?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
With all this baseball and all this football going on right now, you guys are doing nothing but talking about Hell in a Cell.
Yes. It was
awful. Seem really obsessed with this today.
It was a it's a no DQ match, and it was DQ'd. That makes no sense.
Was furious when I picked him up from the airport last night, and I was like, do we talk about this? He's like, I can't.
The Undertaker murdered Mick Foley in the ring. He should have gone to jail, but he was not DQ'd.
His teeth went into his gums.
Seth Rollins went too far, Cody. Yeah.
He pulled a chair out. Oh, this can't go anymore.
No. Chair, ladder, sledgehammer.
Yeah, he hit a chair with a sledgehammer 5 feet away from Bray Wyatt's body. Yeah, I got to call this match.
So not happy with that.
Oh, no, my God.
It says a lot about your broadcast when they're chanting your new rival company.
Or refund.
Yes. Or refund.
Yeah. Last night.
They're alternating.
Last
refund
night
and AEW.
Was
know?
The best AEW show of all time.
Good commercial, at least.
Well, I know we're both speaking on our respective programs with Chris Jericho today. It seems like great timing to be having the champ on, right?
Right.
Let's talk about the Dodgers for starters. I said first thing when we came in this morning is, how was your weekend? Well, up until the fifth inning, it was terrible. After the fifth inning, it was a great weekend. I cannot figure out. I've never seen managing like they're doing on the Washington side with how random they seem to be putting their pitchers into rotation. And last night it seemed like it came back to bite him in the butt.
Well, how do I put this?
Yes.
The Nationals rotation is three people. Literally three guys. And the weird thing is, one of those three guys is Patrick Corbin, who's had an incredible year. And they've just been rolling him out any chance they can. And he was the one that gave up four runs.
And he only had 3 days rest, though, too, right? That's the problem with what they're doing.
Yes.
Is the rest of their bullpen just lottery numbers? Like, they're picking out balls, and
it's
they're like,
board, yeah. It's a dark board.
Their bullpen, for lack of a better phrase, is a bunch of veteran pitchers that are Island of Misfit Toys-ish.
Oh.
Really not.
Doesn't seem ideal.
No, not the cream of the crop when it comes to bullpen, but a lot of guys who could fill in a role, and it's been successful for them. But basically, their whole rotation is anchored by Steven Strasburg, Max Scherzer, and Patrick Corbin. And they're just going to keep rolling out those three horses nonstop until it works.
Well, this is why the Dodgers, at least their fans would say out loud, they wanted Washington and not Milwaukee, because
they knew they had
this weakness.
I was the exact opposite. I thought in a 5-game series, based on the fact you have to win 3 games, going up against Patrick Corbin, Steven Strasburg, and Max Scherzer, I thought this gave the Nationals the absolute advantage.
Is that right?
Yeah, but today, you know, the Dodgers have
there's 9 innings in a baseball game. Yeah. You only played it for how long?
No. Slow down. Max Scherzer's going to throw 8 complete today without question, and they're going to win. It's going to come back to L.A., and the Dodgers will probably take game 5.
Okay. Cody, you played baseball for many, many, many years. How does it go from the coldest bats in America to everybody's getting on base? How does that happen? How does that momentum work?
And you get
work?
The feeling that they all knew that was going to happen.
It's weirdly contagious. It can go from 0 to 100 like that. And all it takes is one moment. It could take anything from a guy gets hit by a pitch because he's down 0-2, and he gets hit by a pitch, and the entire dugout just comes alive. As ridiculous as that sounds, huh. I've seen I was in a game this year where we were down 11-1 in the ninth. And our leadoff guy got hit by a pitch. We ended up scoring 10 runs and winning the game. It was.
What were you guys like? Let's start a rally. Lean into this one.
Yeah. It was
someone
awesome.
Needs to get hit. That's all I know.
I was like, I don't care if it hurts.
Fired up.
I was actually hoping that Cody Bellinger would start leaning in, doing something.
To turn
but
it
he didn't have to. He actually showed up last night.
Not only that, Russell Martin hasn't hit a ball really since Nam. So watching him have a game like that yesterday was amazing. Because, you know, Russell Martin is basically borderline Dodger royalty at this point.
Yeah.
So watching him as a veteran player that he is now, having a game like that, with those two huge hits was really fun.
Yeah, and with a bunch of young guys nipping at his tail, too, like with Will Smith and those guys taking the position. He's still playing well.
Oh, yeah. It was really cool to see. You know, that whole Dodger team, the way they run their offense is very much, they don't roll their best 9 out there. They roll their best 12 out there, and they rotate throughout the entire game, especially in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So the fact that everyone's really bought into all being role players, and even though they do have superstars, no one's really treated like a superstar.
But you don't
really
always
great.
Agree with what Roberts does, though, because sometimes he'll be using guys for certain instances, and then it's like, okay, well, you're depleting your bench. Like, who's your bench guys?
Yes, it concerns me every once in a while when you don't start Max Muncy for the first three innings, and then you roll him out and you take out David Freeze, and all of a sudden, well, now I don't have that great right-handed bat off the bench later in the game when I need it, because the Dodgers bullpen is spotty at best. So, you know, you're going to be rolling out a new pitcher every inning from the sixth on, and possibly two pitchers every inning from the sixth on. So now you're going to need to be clever with your bench. And, you know, Dave Roberts has really proven that it's gotten him to two World Series. I can't sit here and say Dave Roberts is wrong. I love Dave Roberts. He's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet in baseball.
Yeah, we all do. Swings and Misses on the Kevin Beach Show right now. Again, their show on radio.com from 10 to 1 live. You can also check out the podcast afterwards on radio.com as well. Let's talk football real quick. It's too far gone to break down the Rams, but we should mention the Chargers.
Should we?
Terrible. Worst appearance of the year yesterday?
Awful. They suck.
Easily, right?
Look, there were more Broncos fans in that stadium than there were Chargers fans.
That is true.
So before anyone gets mad at me for beating down on the Chargers, it's like, how about you show up to the game? How about you make the drive from San Diego, because that's where you're coming from. Let's be real. We haven't adopted you yet here. And just show up.
Every week, I do feel like it's the opposing team that has
100%.
More fans.
It's a home game for whoever's coming to visit. Yeah. But this is the first time that the Chargers have failed to score a touchdown in 55 games.
Oh, that seems bad.
That's pretty insane.
That does seem bad.
Not a good start.
And I think we all like Philip Rivers, too, very much as a human.
Oh, we all do. And, like, I don't think Chargers fans should start panicking yet by any means, because Chargers are notorious for this. They have a really bad start. Everyone starts to get a little panicky, and then they start scrambling. They get a little frantic, and then they somehow end up making their way into postseason talk. So I don't feel like it's something that we should really get nervous about quite yet.
Yeah, 3-2 is so not badly. The end of the road. Right?
But after next week, I may have changed that whole story.
All right, one more thing real quick, and only because I know it amused Jensen and Kevin so much. Jason Garrett of the Cowboys. What happened with him versus an official yesterday?
Oh,
it was one of the best things.
Weirdest thing I've ever watched. I've never seen a penalty called because a guy threw a flag too hard.
That's not why the penalty was called.
Well, they're saying it's a curse now.
They're saying he cursed. He said an expletive while he was throwing the flag down. And we have to forget, like, there's mics all down the sidelines. So that got picked up on television, on the broadcast. I mean, if it's audible enough, they probably heard it in the stadium,
They
too.
Both look like children, which is what I love.
Oh,
Jason
sure.
Jason Garrett threw the flag down like he was going to punch the ref, and then the ref threw the flag in the air like, what's happening?
It's also, at the end of the day, throwing a flag. It's very sensitive of a move.
I love it because this is the first time Jason Garrett has proved to me that he's not like an android in 10
emotion
years.
Is good,
it was amazing. I'm like, oh my God, he's actually human?
But
awesome.
I enjoyed Jerry Jones' quote, though, because it was the quote of the night for me. And he goes, I hope the little darling didn't hear anything he hasn't heard before.
because if they start throwing flags for every bad word, it's just going to be a field of flags.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's no funny. Question. All right. Well, there's plenty for you guys to talk about on your show today. And, of course, hockey is back, too. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll dip into that a little bit. Swings and Misses, radio.com, 10 to 1, and then get the podcast ever. Have a great week, you guys. We'll see you next time.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:53.
I just don't know why Beer Mug would say stuff like that about Jericho. I mean, why would you mouth off when the dude
he's right in the
next room?
He can hear you.
I mean, it's one thing to smack talk a guy when he's nowhere in the building, but Mugs, what are you doing, son?
Allie said it all.
It was you, Mugs.
It's funny because you could tell the difference in your voices.
What? Yeah.
It was you.
I'm a lady.
You should have picked any other guy.
Yeah.
Yep, maybe it would have worked.
wrong comments, wrong day, Mugs. That's what I'm saying. Pick your battles, my friend. All right. Chris Jericho is here. Current AEW world champion. Fascinating individual. Will be joining us coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Allie, what's happening on this Monday?
Well, despite mounting controversy and security concerns, Joker scored $93.5 million over the weekend at the box office. It now stands as the biggest October launch of all time, you guys.
That's, I think, surprising to a lot of people with, you know, the fears about what was going to go down in the cinema, the reviews not being great. There were a lot of things stacked against it. Not having a Batman.
Yeah, not having a Batman.
That was sort of weird.
But that's a problem for a lot of movies.
That don't have Batman?
Just not having a Batman, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a major issue.
You are correct. Previous record holder was the Spider-Man spinoff Venom. That was the biggest October opening before, of course, Joker, with $80 million.
Okay.
I was shocked by that.
Yeah.
Gosh, I love movies.
Along with the North American results, the worldwide opening totaled about $234 million. Not bad. And in case you're wondering about the other movies, well, Joker earned more than the rest of the films in the top 10 combined.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the rest don't really matter, but I'll tell you anyway. Coming in second place, Abominable. Coming in third place, Downton Abbey. Followed by, have you seen it yet?
No, of course not.
Not yet. I'm going to, though. Get to it.
No, you're not.
You're not allowed to act so excited if you're not going to see it.
I am. I promise.
Coming in fourth, Hustlers, and rounding out the top five, It Chapter 2. And if you missed Kevin's review of the movie before, you said it was a little long. You would have edited a little bit.
It was good. It's just there was a lot of he sure does laugh at the wrong time. There was a lot of that. It's like, okay, I get it. I don't need to be hit over the head with it.
Yeah, we get it. It's a creepy
laugh.
Two hours, 2 minutes is the running time, yeah.
Would you say that he laughed all the way to the bank with this fog slob? It's the biggest October.
Nope.
Okay.
I wouldn't say any of that.
I'm not proud of that. So Justin Bieber recently spent $35,000 on two little kittens and took to Instagram.
What? Wait, what? What are you're burying the lead?
What?
How
do you spend?
They're special. Cats.
Cats are like $15.
Well, yeah, but these are like crazy, like, they could change the world cats.
No, I don't think any cats could change the world.
Of some type?
I didn't follow the story, but aren't they big cats?
No.
They're not.
They're just cats.
They're not like tigers or something.
No,
okay.
They're a specific breed. I think Savannah breed.
How much? These are people, but they're cats, and this is kind of blowing my mind.
$35,000 on two of them.
Okay. I mean, you can find a cat free in most neighborhoods most days.
Well, and that was kind of PETA's point, who pointed out that they wish that Justin, quote, could inspire his fans around the world to save a life by adopting a cat from a local animal shelter rather than fueling the dangerous demand for hybrid cats, contributing to the animal overpopulation crisis, and proving that when it comes to helping animals, his stance so far is, I don't care.
Because that's a Justin Bieber song.
Right.
Well, see what they did?
Bieber wasn't having it. He wrote, PETA, go focus on real problems like poaching and animal brutality. You're tripping because I want a specific kind of cat. You weren't tripping when I got my dog Oscar and he wasn't a rescue. Every pet we get must be a rescue. I believe in adopting rescues, but also think there are preferences, and that's what breeders are for.
Was he eating a ton of bacon while he was making this statement? Just to rub it in?
Wearing a mink coat.
He then said, PETA, go help with all the plastic in the ocean and leave my beautiful cats alone. At Kitty Sushi and Tuna. Apparently their names are Sushi and Tuna.
He is creative.
Wow. He is. Wow. How are you going to make me side with PETA here, Justin Bieber? How are you going to make me do it?
I have mixed feelings about this because I do understand people who like a specific breed, but
and
I do.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
You can find any specific breed at any rescue or any shelter. You absolutely can.
That was the other half of my sentence,
for jumping in.
I didn't know at the time, for instance, when I got my last bulldog from a breeder, I did not realize great organizations like Southern California Bulldog Rescue existed, and there's plenty of bulldogs who need homes. So I am forevermore a full-time adopt-don't-shop for sure.
Absolutely. I like that about you. Guys, this is bizarre to me, and I'm not quite sure who's buying these, but, you know, the last episode of Golden Girls aired more than 25 years ago.
And Betty White is still alive.
She sure is.
Amazing.
But it obviously still has some pop culture street cred, because Target's collection of Golden Girls Halloween costumes not only sold out, the wigs that were sold separately, all of those have sold out.
Hold up.
These are $70 each. Just the costume, not the wig that goes with it. Sold out. What? These aren't kids, right?
No.
That are like, I want to be
Blanche. Golden Girls?
No, these are just straight up Golden Girls.
Who is the horny one?
That's Blanche.
Blanche.
Yeah.
She was cool.
She was Estelle Getty.
No.
Well, no, I thought it was
no.
I thought Rose was the
Rose
horny
is
one.
The horny one. Yeah.
I thought Blanche was the one. Oh, you're right. I thought you're right.
Maybe were horny for one of them.
Yeah,
but
well,
as far as
Eddie, come on.
Who was horny out? It was Rue McClanahan?
It was Rue McClanahan. Yeah. It was Rose. You're right.
She rules.
Hold up.
Which one was Blanche then?
Blanche was the oldest one.
Oh, the mom.
Estelle
Dorothy's
Getty.
Mom.
Am I the only one that never watched the Golden Girls?
No, Sophia was the oldest one.
All right, then what? I don't know.
Which one is Joe?
Joe Polnicek?
No, and Joe which Jonas. Which one is Joe?
Great conversation.
Wait, hold. Now I've got to look it up.
The point is that the Golden Girls costumes are hot for Halloween 2019. That's Allie's point.
Well, now wonderful. We're all looking to see which is which. The horny one is clearly Rue McClanahan. The horny one is Blanche.
That's what I said.
Apparently, Chris Jericho was in the other room yelling at us. He should be.
Yeah, Blanche was Rue McClanahan, and then Betty White was Rose.
Yes.
Then B. Arthur was Dorothy.
Are we still talking about the Golden Girls?
Her mom was Sophia. But which is the weirdest part, the mom on the Golden Girls was the youngest of all of them in real life. Crazy times, right?
Yeah, it's on, unfortunately. Why can't it fail?
Bean, did you ever find the horny one attractive?
I don't know. Which one was the horny one now?
Rue McClanahan. No, not at all. The southern one.
No. Betty White was the hottest, obviously.
Oh, my God. She was, like, so demure and sweet.
And then not... Estelle Getty, secondly. Just because you felt like you might break her.
Oh. All right.
Bean likes prunes. I like to put in some work. I'm not happy until they end up in the hospital. You know.
Wow. All
right. Jericho is in his car now. I'm being told he is now getting onto the 10.
Wow. Some birthdays for you. Joy Behar, Tom York, Simon Cowell, John Mellencamp, and Louis Capaldi.
Jericho is excellence.
All hail.
It's Chris, you parasites.
Bring it in, man! You just made the list, you stupid idiot!
I'm the first AEW champion.
A little bit of the bubbly.
I love being le champion. You're welcome.
KSA, wow. New York Times bestselling author, multiple times actor, lead singer of Fozzy, the rock band, and oh, yes, by the way, a pro wrestler, and as you just heard, the current AEW world champion. Please welcome Chris Jericho to the Kevin Hayes Show.
I thought I was going to the Hall of Fame with that introduction. That was like a whole "this is your life" type thing.
You're a walking meme, man. You're catchphrase central.
Well, before we get into it, let me just explain to you. So I've been watching The Golden Girls.
Here we go. Because
my wife got me into it, so now I'm a huge fan. Blanche is Rue McClanahan, the horny one.
Yes. Okay.
Rose is Betty White. She's kind of the dumb one. Sophia is the old lady, the mom.
Still Getty.
And then B. Arthur is Dorothy, who's
Chris
the
is bringing this
coolest
up because,
character ever.
Because right. you guys we spent 15 minutes
literally,
not knowing any of it.
Riveting conversation, debating it. You can just Google. You guys know what this Google is. You got 18 computers in here, and you're debating on who the horny one is. Just Google it, man.
Look, Chris.
I took it as he was horny for her, so I wasn't sure which one it could be.
I'd be Arthur, man. She's the best.
Nope. Really?
Over
Betty White?
Really?
Man.
Anyway, yeah. Arthur looks like she would like spank you.
Yeah,
like,
she can manhandle.
Switch, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, all right. We're unlike you, Chris, who has multiple jobs and seem to excel at all of them. We are bad at just the one job that we have here.
You know what the funny thing is? I forgot that Bean is doing this via satellite.
Yeah.
So somebody's talking. I'm looking at all four people. No one's talking. I'm like, how are you doing that?
I'm throwing my voice.
It's a talent, one of us.
Throwing it from Seattle.
You have to guess which one.
I should just start moving my mouth just so.
Please just do. To confuse people.
You're screwing me up here.
Jensen, you told us before Chris came in that he was on your Drop the Mic show.
He was. So he rocks Andy Raps. I loved having Chris on. Chris was one of the rare people that we had on the show that we would text lyrics back and forth, and in the middle of the night after he was done with the match, he would just voice message a rhyme to me, and I was like, that's very good.
Why was it after I was done with the match? I could have just been sitting around my house drinking or something.
No, I think you were like, I just left a match. I think you told me.
Here's something I learned from doing Drop the Mic. Yeah. A, we had a great time. Method Man, awesome dude. Mm-hmm. But don't ever go up against an Ali in the United States. Because as she walked out as Layla Ali, as soon as she walked out, it's like, she hasn't even done anything
yet. So you lost immediately
before
you even rap.
My rhymes were way better than her rhymes.
Yes.
She had the Ali street cred.
Don't rap battle a woman of a heroic dead father.
Okay.
That's usually good advice.
I love an Ali. Right? Exactly.
I don't think I have any trouble not doing that.
We had fun, though. There was a good Layla Eric Clapton joke in there.
We were happy to have you, man.
Good. Thank you.
Chris, this is a... we talk about how this is maybe the biggest wrestling has ever been. There's more interest in wrestling right now. Yes, it's me speaking. Than it almost seems like than any time before. Thanks to the WWE versus AEW war, for starters, right?
Well, we're not at war with anybody. That's a war that was kind of thrust upon us, as they say. But I think the fact that AEW exists is what made wrestling cool again, because our company is different from the others. And we had such a buzz before we even did one TV show that once we did it, people were like, wow, this is a completely different thing. We haven't really experienced this before. A little bit more of a free show, more creative, more artistic, not done the same way that other shows are done. So I think that is by proxy made wrestling cool again, because we now have a company that's cool in AEW.
And I have a hard time explaining it to friends, because here in LA I've been going to PWG for like 10 years, and I don't, when people say what's the difference between WWE and what I'd seen at PWG, which now has a ton of dudes in AEW, what is the difference if someone just...
That's a lot of alphabets.
Yes, it is, yeah. A lot of letters there.
People at home are like, well, go back to the Golden Girls conversation.
if you're just tuning in to see what the difference is, what they know.
It's like if there was, you know, just one band, like, okay, we got, you know, Metallica, and it's all Metallica. If there was no Megadeth, and if there was no Slayer, and if there was no Anthrax, mm-hmm. it'd be kind of boring. And that's kind of where we're at now for the last 20 years, where there was a monopoly from the WWE, which is great. They're obviously legendary company, but they do things a certain way.
Yeah.
It's very much the WWE style of things. Our style is a little bit more freeform. Like I said, there's no writers there telling you what to do. As Chris Jericho playing this character for 29 years, I don't need a writer to tell me what to say. I know what to say.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the
differences. I think you've proven that, probably.
A few things, like a couple lines here and there. I just think it gives, we're giving the artists a chance to be artists. Let the pros be pros. It reminds me of Clint Eastwood when he does a movie. He does two or three takes and moves on. And the actor's like, that's all you need? He's like, yes, I hired you to be pros. You're pros. You did a great take. Let's move on. There's a lot of second guessing and micromanaging in WWE. We really don't have that. And
so I think, feel they're overproduced.
Yeah, but that's their style. That's how they do it. And that's very successful. We're not, like I said, we didn't start any wars, and we didn't. You could put on the Super Bowl against AEW Dynamite. You could raise John and George from the dead and do a Beatles reunion against the AEW Dynamite.
Not positive.
There's nothing we can do to change that. All we can worry about, we're in competition with ourselves.
And by the way, it's easy to say they doubled the ratings of their competition in wrestling that
no,
night.
No, but I want to know what night that Beatles thing is happening. I'd actually like to tune in.
With the holograms these days? Let's make it happen live on K-Rock.
Speak about the ratings. When you saw those come out and WWE did the, hey, great premiere, guys, of AEW, right? Were you like, oh, but,
yeah, the passive-aggressive, it's a marathon, not a one-night sprint. And we were like, whoever said it was a one-night sprint?
No.
Yeah. But once again, to me, that was missing the point. Yes, we beat NXT, which was great. But, you know, in television and advertising, it's all about the demos. You're the demo, 18 mm-hmm. to 34, 18 to 49. Our demos in the important slots were number two on the whole night.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing that beat us was the dastardly Major League Baseball wild card game, those heathens. But every other show that night, we beat them. So that, to me, was the most important.
It's huge.
Beat the Golden Girls that night?
There was a Golden Girls marathon.
I think they're
on. We crushed them.
And today, I guess it would be dumb of us not to bring up that last night, the WWE had their Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, which is kind of a big gimmick thing they do. And it ended so poorly for the fans. The fans were so... not satisfied with what happened. There was a audible in the WWE broadcast, an audible AEW chant.
Yeah. refund, right?
Refund was being yelled. Is that kind of, I guess, fever for something new? Is that?
I think people are excited to have something new and there's an option. And we're kind of like, you know, we're Mavericks. We're the rebel forces against the evil empire of the Death Star and, Vince Vader and all this sort of stuff. So I love when people are like, we'll never watch WWE again until tomorrow night on Raw, 8 o'clock Eastern. Like I said, if people are chanting that, that's great. I can't worry about what they do. We're just worried about we did one great show, and now we have to continue on by doing another great show on Wednesday.
You still have plenty of time to disappoint people, Chris.
I've made a career out of disappointing people.
We have to take a quick break. Hang on there 1 second. Our guest is Chris Jericho. This is a very exciting morning for us here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're delighted to have him. The AEW, by the way, is going to be this Wednesday night at 8 on TNT. This is going to be from Boston, is that right?
Emanating from Boston, Massachusetts.
From Boston, Massachusetts. More with Chris right after this on K-Rock.
Chris Jericho.
Whoa! Right? Chris Jericho's here. Wait, Kevin, you got to turn it down.
Chris Jericho is here.
No.
Listen to this guy. Beautiful on the inside. Listen to this guy. You are innocence personified. Chris Jericho is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is, among other things, the current AEW World Champion. Get back to that in a minute. He is the lead singer of the band Fozzy.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems to be a thing that you are not only good at, but to take pretty seriously, Chris.
We just currently have our fifth top 30 Billboard single right now. So, yeah, we're doing really good. We just
How many years have you been doing the band?
Well, I've been playing in bands since I was 13. But this band, we started it like in 1999, believe it or not. But over the last 10 years is when we really started focusing. We just did a show out here at the Bank of California Stadium with Iron Maiden like 2 weeks ago.
That's pretty cool.
It was crazy, yeah. A stadium show. It was so, yeah, we've been doing great. Lots of good stuff going on. And rock radio is still very vibrant and very important.
That's amazing.
When you get embraced by it, it really helped our band. So far, so good.
And by the way, there have to be people who have no idea that you have another life. They just know you as the guy in the band, right? I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I've found now it's more about the Chris Jericho brand. Some people are Fozzy fans. Some people are AEW fans, wrestling fans. Some people are both. Some people are fans of just the podcast, Talk is Jericho, or the books that I've written. So you have different pockets of fans. Some of them like everything. Some of them like certain elements. But that's why it's important to expand your brand show.
Yeah, congratulations.
And what makes Chris so much different than a lot of other wrestlers that he came up with is like as wrestlers get older, they kind of get worse. Like their wear and tear start to take over. And younger guys come up and just sort of take their spot. Chris has been able to sort of reinvent himself over and over again in the game and sort of stay, and you're almost like hitting your stride now, it would feel.
Yeah, I mean, I was always really influenced by David Bowie and how he always changed, evolved, morphed his style of music, his look. He always reinvented himself from record to record, which then made him relevant at all times. I can't remember a time when Bowie wasn't relevant because of that. You never become a nostalgia act. And I think because of this reinvention that I've been doing, it's just kind of given my career a whole new level of longevity.
It's a little scary at times when you try to do something different. Are the fans going to like it? Or are they not going to like it?
But what I realize is you have to have pure confidence and commitment to it. And when you have that, people will buy it. Because even if you, I remember I was in Japan last year. I was going to say,
it's a totally different character.
Yeah, the character I had was much more vicious, and I felt more like it's kind of a serial killer, excuse me, type thing. So what would a serial killer look like if I was a killer? Maybe I'd put some makeup on, like a Clockwork Orange Alice Cooper thing. And so I just did it. And as soon as you walk out of the dressing room into the area where all the other guys are, I'm like, is anyone going to laugh at this? But nobody did. It's just, it's just Jericho again. And then you walk out and suddenly you have, you know, thousands of people dressing up as this character for Halloween now. Mm-hmm. So that's, you just have to believe in what you're doing, have commitment, and know when you have years of experience and people following you that they'll buy it. Oh, there's Jericho. Look at that cool costume. Look at this cool, you know,
would you do Dancing with the Stars?
I've done it.
He did it.
I did it.
What?
Yeah, he did it.
I did it.
I was just thinking, what is the squarest thing I could possibly throw at you to see how committed you were to this character?
He was good.
I lasted 7 weeks.
Yeah, he was good.
And never danced before or since, but at the time, it was...
And people bought it. People were into
it. It was good, man.
That's hilarious.
Dancing is choreography and staying on the beat, right? And understanding the syncopation of music. Well, what do I do? Wrestling, there's a lot of choreography in that. Being a musician, you have to understand how to stay with the beat in the pocket. So it was actually cut out for it in a lot of ways. And I did.
It's also very physical.
Uh-huh. I could have lasted maybe 2 more weeks, but I think I lasted way longer than they expected.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of have guys slotted, I think, where they believe they're going to go.
You see the board earlier?
Yeah.
Jericho's out in third week.
He's out first week, but actually I did pretty good. So it was a lot of fun. It was
because all of our friends who have done it have been out like 2 or 3 weeks in. You know,
okay,
the Jeff Rosses and the Corollas and people like that. They never last.
Well, you got to put the time into it too. Like you're practicing 7-8 hours a day, like literally, man. There's no, if you don't put in that time, you won't do good because you need that much time to get good.
Why Fozzy? Where'd the name come from?
We started as a cover band and it was just Fozzy Osbourne. We thought it was funny. And then,
that works.
And then, you know, here we are now with Fozzy. It's like, oh, that's interesting. We'll look at other names. Def Leppard. Think about what is a Def Leppard? Or how about like Kiss?
Sure.
I got a band called Hug with 2 G's. The best thing about Fozzy is it's the easiest name to chant. People sure. chant Fozzy.
It's
Fozzy,
funny that you
Fozzy.
Think that. It's funny that you think that way, like chanting
well,
is part of
that. Well, he wouldn't have thought that when he had a cover band called Fozzy Osbourne. It's right, just lucky that yeah. plays out.
Yeah, so, interesting name, memorable, but that's the name.
I thought it had to do with Fozzy the Bear. That's why you wore scarves.
What is Fozzy Bear wear scarves?
Fozzy, yeah, a pork yeah. pie hat and scarves. What are you talking about?
He wears bow ties and stuff.
I'm so upset right now.
You guys are breaking up.
I'll tell you.
That's her first love.
I'll explain Golden Girls and you explain.
That's a deal.
I remember the Swedish chef. He was great.
Oh, yeah. Beaker.
Yeah. All right. Chris, how did you get?
I never thought you'd be talking about today.
How did you get 4 New York Times best-selling books out of your life already?
I briefly was going to continue this interview as the Swedish chef, but I can't do this.
Oh, it's too bad.
I got the 4 New York Times of bestsellers.
That's a tough one.
It's like Dracula, kind of. I just wrote the damn things, and people liked them. So, I wrote 4 books in 10 years, and the last one came out a couple of years ago, and I just had a publisher just email me again. I'm like, I don't need another autobiography at this point. Like, the last one was more of a self-help book, but what am I, F. Scott Fitzgerald? Like, 4 autobiographies in 10 years?
You're like, enough.
But yeah, you got a lot of stuff to talk about. Yeah, but I think I just need to take a little bit of a break for a bit. Because the last one was called No is a 4-letter word. And like I said, it was based around the 20 principles that I had learned throughout my career and my life on how to achieve your goals. So that one was a little bit of more of a different vibe to it, which was really
And that cool. would be for anybody who's in any field,
any
right?
Any field, it's just exactly.
Good habits to
exactly,
learn.
So I
have a question. For anyone who's like a more of a wrestling head, is there anyone on this new – because it's crazy because you have a whole new roster to deal with now. Like, you've been – working for decades, and yet these guys are all new to you. Who out of the whole roster are you most excited to go against to fight?
Just all of them. The thing that you need to create a viable competitor, alternative option to WWE is you need money, which the Khan family from Jacksonville, they own the Jaguars, amongst many other things. They have the money and the passion. Mm-hmm. You need a great television deal, which we got on TNT, mm-hmm. one of the biggest cable networks in the world. And you need a roster of 6 to 8 minimum fresh main event guys, which we have. Guys that have been doing this for years, but never in the States. They've been plying their craft in Japan. And mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, PWGs. I'm talking about Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, Cody Rhodes. So you have all these guys that when they come into AEW, they're going to be 10-year overnight sensations. People are going to watch and go, who the hell are these guys?
Yeah, how are they so good?
How are they so good, and why have we never heard of them before? And they're guys that chose not to go to WWE.
Yeah.
The Bucks had a deal with Hot Topic. They were making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on merch, and they're like, who are these guys?
Yeah.
So that's what I was really excited about. And what Chris Jericho is a bridge for people that know who I am, know my history, and go, well, what's this AEW? Well, Jericho's there? Well, let's check it out. And then they'll see all these other guys.
New names,
and go, holy smokes, this is amazing. So anybody in the company I'm excited to work with, because they're all basically brand new matches for me.
Well, I'm gonna put my vote in for a guy named Luchasaurus, who is
a
dinosaur.
I'm sorry?
That his character is that he is a dinosaur.
A dinosaur.
Who also has a master's degree.
Yeah, and he's a giant, too. But that's the thing. The Luchasaurus and his partner is Jungle Boy, who's Luke Perry's son, Jack. So they're called the Jurassic Express. One of those things, when you see him at first, you're like, what the hell is this? And then when it's done, you'll be joined, Luchasaurus!
Yeah,
Luchasaurus!
They'll become your favorites. Yeah, it'll be very hard to describe them to your friends.
But that's what I'm saying.
Your grandparents will not understand.
He's a dinosaur. The other one's Luke Perry's kid. They're very, very good.
AEW. I'm sorry, Chris. Let me... plug again. 2-hour weekly matches airing Wednesdays at 10 on TNT. Just started last week.
Wednesdays at 8.
8.
8. I'm so sorry. I read that wrong. Yes, Wednesdays at 8, 2 hours, right?
And we have Full Gear coming up. That's your big event, like a pay-per-view. Right?
Yes, yeah,
and that's November 9th?
November 9th,
That's your birthday.
My birthday.
That's right.
Oh, there you
fantastic.
Go. Exactly. So,
why do you know that's his birthday?
Because in his recent promo, he talked about how winning this would
letting
be his,
everybody know.
Yeah, he said this would be the best present he could get.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
I'm not Jensen, you're going on Chris's cruise, aren't you?
He does. He has a cruise. And our friend Brad Williams is always involved in it.
He was going to go, but then his wife had the audacity to get pregnant. So we replaced his ass with Gabriel Iglesias.
Another friend.
Nice. Okay.
Great. Chris Jericho's Rockin' Wrestling Rager at Sea. This is our second one, sold out like about a month ago, and we go out in January. So if you want to get on the waiting list, it's chrisjerichocruise.com. If not, you miss out.
The man is a walking entrepreneur.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
He's everything.
All right, before we say goodbye with our good wishes, Allie, you ready for the thing?
I am.
The thing.
Mm-hmm. Allie is going to fire questions at you. Just first answer that comes to your mind, please. It's 60 seconds with our guest, Chris Jericho.
All right.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Do you think it's weird that Tarzan doesn't have a beard?
Yes.
If animals could talk, which one would be the biggest a-hole?
Chipmunk.
Creepiest thing you could say to a stranger you pass in the street?
Open your mouth, let me spit in it.
Okay. Twizzlers or Red Vines?
Ooh, Twizzler.
Should CM Punk be in AEW or WWE?
Ask Mr. Punk.
We did.
He probably gave you an angry answer.
It was non-committal.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Yes.
What is your worst trait?
Really bad at answering questions quickly.
You can eat only one food for the rest of your life. What would it be?
Steak.
Oh, okay. If you could know when you will die, would you want to?
No, absolutely not.
Dream
dinner. We have bad news for you, Chris.
Drop the 16-ton weight. Speaking of Muppets.
What is your dream, or who is your dream dinner date?
Dream dinner date? Oh, geez, my goodness. Date would imply it has to be someone from
no, it could be either. No, it could be anyone.
Love to go out for dinner with Paul McCartney.
Good answer.
Well said.
All right. Good answer. I'd like to go back and talk about open your mouth so I can spit in it. That was a strange answer.
Yeah. I mean, we all have our kinks.
Russell Martin coming up.
And it's one hop off the wall. Dodgers a 3-2 lead. 1-2 to Kike Hernandez. Line drive. Heading on back is Soto, and he can't get it. Two-run double. The runners go, and Turner on its way, and it is gone. A home run. Justin Turner, a three-run home run. Russell Martin hits one out. Dodgers lead it 10-4. Dodgers are up 2-1 in a best of five.
It was batting practice there in that seventh inning. It was. By the way, listen how quiet that Washington Nationals crowd was, too.
It's like pin drop.
It's like he's in an empty room. Yeah. All right, game four this afternoon at 3:40, I want to say, on TBS. Go Dodgers. It's 9:40. Allie is here now. Time for a final look at what's happening here on a Monday.
Guys.
Yes.
From the director of Venom and writers of Deadpool, in theaters October 18th, it's Zombieland Double Tap.
In.
But why wait until October 18th, like a loser, when I'm going to give you access for two into the K-Rock advanced screening of Zombieland Double Tap at the Arclight Hollywood on October 15th.
What's with the zombies?
Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, Abigail Breslin, they're all back together. I can't wait for this. Nut up or shut up.
Zombies and vampires. Could be kind of like in a weird way.
Not really.
I don't think so.
It says nut up or shut up.
Oh, you didn't make that up,
Allie? I thought
you
made that up.
It's like good marketing over there.
My paperwork right here. But let's take callers 20 through 24 right now at 1-800-520-1067, and you're going to get access for two into the K-Rock advanced screening of Zombieland Double Tap at the Arclight Hollywood on October 15th.
What happens if the zombies come? Are you prepared for that?
That's a great question.
I mean, I am not so much. What about you guys?
You're going to be the first to die then.
I think I just kill myself. I've always thought
really?
Of that. Yeah, while watching zombie movies, I'm like, why are they even run? Just kill yourself. It all ends the same. And then they don't get you. You don't become a zombie back.
You're such a cuck.
It's not, that's not how it works. Not the word.
You might want to look that up.
Okay. Yeah. I will.
She's just going to keep using it until one time she accidentally gets it right.
I got it right
once. She kind of did. Yeah. She got like 80% there.
It felt pretty good. Felt pretty good. You guys, this is nuts. In an upcoming memoir, Sir Elton John reveals that he was 24 hours away from death.
Whoa.
He suffered some complications following surgery for prostate cancer. He's never spoken about his fight with prostate cancer, but he's now revealing that he had surgery to cure him of the disease in 2017. He had his prostate removed. That was chosen by him over chemo. But as a result of the procedure, he had a bunch of complications, was in and out of the hospital for months. He had a rare complication where fluid was leaking from his lymph nodes.
Oh.
Not a good situation.
I don't think that gets a bell.
Not really a bell stitch.
It is for some people.
He was in just agony getting the fluid drained, going in and out of the hospital. Again, not probably with a big needle is what it involves.
That's that.
Yeah.
Nope.
Doctors cured it by accident in a colonoscopy. It shifted the fluid permanently by doing this colonoscopy. But here's the thing. He was like, okay, I'm doing great. So he headed to South America, where he nearly died. Because during the tour on a flight back to London, he couldn't stop shaking. He said he was feeling worse than he's ever felt in his entire life. He had a serious infection. And here's the quote that just made me laugh because he's so British. The doctors told David I was 24 hours away from death. If the South American tour had gone on for another day, that would have been it. Brown bread.
Brown bread?
Is brown, bread death? Like, nobody wants brown bread. That's
me.
Death.
Is that code?
I have not learned that one yet.
Is he talking about his butt?
I don't think so. That's a weird thing to say, though.
Well, because it's colonoscopy and stuff.
Brown bread?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I agree, but I'm saying I'm trying to figure it out. Okay. This is a real mystery.
I just took it as, that would have been it. Like, brown bread. No one wants brown bread. It's like a fate, like death. It's brown bread. I read a lot into it. Anyway, he spent 11 days in the hospital and thought he was going to die.
It is, apparently, according to Christine, it is Cockney rhyming slang for dead.
Yeah!
Okay, there you go.
I know my brown bread Cockney.
Ooh, a lot of words there that make me nervous.
didn't work all together, really?
Nope.
Okay. Guys, this is a pretty unusual move. Disney is banning Netflix from advertising on some of their networks as they're building up their own streaming ambitions.
This, we should have expected this.
Yeah.
This is going to be the case for all of them.
Yeah, they will still be allowed to advertise on ESPN because Netflix doesn't offer live sports. But Netflix ads will no longer run on ABC, FX, Freeform, or National Geographic. Makes sense.
Yeah. Wouldn't you think that a lot of people learned about Netflix through commercials on other channels?
Yeah, I would think so.
Mm-hmm. It seems, they're advertising their competition. Can't do that.
That's right.
Nobody wants
brown
that.
Bread.
Brown bread, right? Mm-hmm. Brown bread. We discussed this earlier, and Bean was real upset when he heard Oscar-winning director Martin Scorsese ruffling some feathers on Friday when he told The Guardian that he is not a fan of Marvel movies. He said, I tried, you know? But that's not cinema. Honestly, the closest I can think of them as well made as they are, with actors doing the best they can under the circumstances, is theme parks. It isn't the cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional, psychological experiences to another human being. And Bean was furious with Martin Scorsese.
Look, I've only seen one movie in the MCU, and it was Iron Man. That was the only one I saw. Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe I'm not completely current, but I do read a lot, and I know that there are a lot of characters that people care very deeply from, and there are a lot of really emotional scenes in terms of romance, in terms of loss, in terms of death. Who's to say just because they're playing Thor that they can't make the audience feel something, so like some real human emotions? That's absurd.
Speaking of Hammer... You're right. You brought the hammer down on Martin Scorsese.
I mean, he's certainly entitled to his opinion, but it's also wrong.
Okay. Very well.
I think a better way of putting it is that he thinks that these movies are taking away from non-loud movies, is probably what he meant to say, in a way, is like that every movie has to have these big explosions and action scenes, and we're losing the art of cinema that doesn't need
But he's
those.
Also shortcutting every single one of those movies, which, like Bean said, does have a very emotional connection.
Especially
with
ones like Black Panther, who get their Oscar nominations correctly.
And shortchanging them also.
What did I say?
Shortcutting. And I'm sure the internet was very, very understanding about that, right? Yeah. And they saw the nuance of his position, and they debated it respectfully.
Reacted calmly.
What has he done? Martin Scorsese, no one knows your movies. People were out of their minds. Insane. But
he had that Raging Bull movie about the bull rider. I mean, what about that?
Right. He did upset James Gunn, though, which we can't have. You guys, James Gunn tweeted that he was saddened by Scorsese's remarks and response to superhero films, writing, Martin Scorsese is one of my five favorite living filmmakers. I was outraged when people picketed The Last Temptation of Christ without having seen the film, and I'm saddened that he's now judging my films in the same way. How dare you, Martin Scorsese? How dare you?
I mean, it's not for everybody. That's all right.
I know, let's, it's okay. Let people enjoy things. Yeah. And maybe your definition of cinema is different than others' definition of cinema.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I didn't consider I didn't consider Kundun to be very good cinema, and that was a bad Scorsese movie.
That sounds like a porn. I don't even know good. What you're saying, and I don't want to see it.
It's not a good one.
No? Okay. No. Okay, guys. Your choice of tacos can say a lot about you.
Go
I just,
on.
I just want to read you. You know how I come across these surveys, and I'm like, what is even happening?
Mm-hmm.
So what does the ideal taco look like? Turns out it's a simple combo of chicken, lettuce, shredded cheese, and tomatoes wrapped in a soft corn shell. The survey examining Americans' taco preferences found that chicken is the number one protein for choice of tacos, 26%.
Eat it.
Not far behind at 24% with beef, followed by fish, shrimp, and pork. Results found that hard shell lovers tend to have a hotter side, since they were 71% more likely to find spicy very appealing, more so than soft shell fans. Turns out that hard shell taco eaters also prefer dogs, while soft shell fans prefer to cuddle with the cat. What?
What's happening?
Oh, you're talking about eating dogs.
What is this even about? No, like in the middle of this survey about what kind of meats and proteins to what kind of shell, all of a sudden they're like, soft shell fans prefer to cuddle with a cat. What?
That's odd.
Do you have chicken fingers?
I don't.
Fish tacos. Tacos.
Thank you, sir, for that. It's just weird. It was just all...
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you...
The best taco.
That's a taco.
That's my preference here.
Singer, leave my taco alone.
Fish tacos. Tacos.
We just played taco.
How did you have taco at your fingertips, by the way?
I will tell you. Mugs pulled it up.
Nice work. Good job. I hope someone woke up just at that moment and thinks that we were playing it just as a song.
And if you could never say, how did you have taco at your fingertips, that would also be beneficial.
That would help as well.
Wow. It's been quite a show, guys.
Yes, it has.
Quite a show.
From Chattanooga.
Some birthdays for you. Happy birthday to John Mellencamp, Simon Cowell, Tom York, Joy Behar. I call her Joe. And Louis Capaldi. That's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. And your drive home tomorrow morning, one of our favorite actresses and the star of I'm Sorry is going to be here talking about her new podcast, Andrea Savage. And we have more tickets for you for Queen Mary.